debt limit. Likely a majority of the House will vote against that increase, but under the complicated deal on the debt ceiling, it actually would take a two-thirds majority to block the debt increase, and no one expects that.
Saudi Arabia promises to step in to make up for any oil production that might be lost if sanctions are placed on Iran. Oil Minister Ali Al-Naimi says his country will work to keep oil prices from spiraling out of control.
Our wish and hope is we can stabilize this oil price and keep it at a level around $100.
The Wisconsin Democratic Party says it's confident it will have the 500,000 signatures required by today to seek a recall of Republican Governor Scott Walker. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
It's after work. You look at your iPhone and discover an urgent request. You could drive back to the office to log onto your computer, but who wants to do that? With the new Go to My PC app for the iPhone, you could take care of that last-minute request from anywhere. Use the Go to My PC app by Citrix to access your work computer to work on any program or file. It's like having your computer in your pocket. Try it free for 45 days. Download the free app, then visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, enter promo code 45.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Stock and Carnival Corporation is likely to be a major mover today. European shares of the cruise line operator fell 16% yesterday. Carnival owns Costa, the line whose Concordia ship ran aground off the Italian coast Saturday. Carnival estimates financial losses stemming from the tragedy could top $95 million this year, with another $40 million in property damage and injury claims. And shaken confidence in the industry could mean a major financial hit for other cruise companies. Europe's large and growing financial mess has been showing up increasingly in U.S. corporate earnings. So far this reporting season, profit and sales weakness from companies including Alcoa and Tiffany have been blamed on soft demand from governments, corporations, and consumers in Europe. This week we received several earnings reports from banking companies such as Citi, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, which could further reflect European weakness. Right now, European stocks are up about 1%, S&P futures gaining 11 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $49 or more of HP ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday, limit 2.
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-861-7555. That's 1-800-861-7555. 1-800-861-7555.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. It is First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Happy Tuesday, January 17th, 2012 to you. 7 minutes after 6 o'clock, and thank you for punching in this very early on this Tuesday morning. We've got a great show lined up for you. Chris Mihalakis will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. Yeah, we're rearranging the schedule a little bit because we have Cindy Estrada with us today in the 8 o'clock hour, which we're very excited about. Those of you on Facebook got a little advance preview of the article that was in the Free Press on Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. So we'll look forward to having Cindy on. Of course, Occupy Detroit will spend some time occupying First Shift. And again, to reiterate, Chris Mihalakis will be with us at some point this morning, and we'll look forward to that. But we do have a lot to get to, so let's just go ahead and get to it.
Before you punch in for your First Shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is elevate. It's good to elevate things most of the time. Sometimes we elevate the volume. That's not always good. Louder is not always better, although if you're a member of the grand old party, they kind of feel, for whatever reason, elevating volume means you're more right. Those who yell the loudest are the most right? I don't think so. Elevate. Elevate our point of view. Elevate our possibilities. Elevate the truth. Facts, of course, are always important to lift and elevate. Elevate at any length, at any step, at any measure. To elevate, of course, is to also bring focus to. So as we elevate today, as we elevate our topics, as we elevate the opportunity that we are giving to you, I'm happy, of course, to be here to do that. We want to just be careful that we do it responsibly, because to elevate irresponsibly would make us a member of the Republican Party. Or something like that. Today's first word is elevate. And to elevate the discussion and get me out of this bind I think I've put myself in is none other than Jeff Radford. Good morning, Mr. Radford.
Well, good morning. You got a lot of confidence in me to get you out of that kind of bind.
Yeah, well, you know, I was telling you when I got here this morning, I cut my thumb yesterday. And it is, you know, it, just to look at it, I got a couple Band-Aids on it, no big deal. Dude, it is driving me nuts.
How did that manage? Were you making dinner when this happened?
Yeah, I was sharpening a knife. I was sharpening a knife, and it slipped. Well, there you go. That's it. So here's the situation. I cut myself. I could tell right away that it was going to be a doozy. I run to the hallway closet where we keep bandages. I found none. Zero. Couldn't find a Band-Aid. Run into the bathroom. Said, okay, well, let me run some water over it and then, wrap it in some toilet paper until I figure out what I'm going to do. There was no toilet paper in the bathroom. I'm not exaggerating. This is true. This happened. I don't use this bathroom, so I don't know why it's never has. It never seems to have toilet paper. I don't understand what. I think in my house they eat the stuff. I swear to God, I just don't know what happens to the toilet paper.
The kids or the dog?
Who knows? Who knows? No, this problem actually was long before the dog came along. So I don't know why there's never toilet paper in that bathroom. So anyway, I'm bleeding. I mean, I'm bleeding profusely, and making quite a mess in the process. And fortunately, I a box of Kleenex. So I was able to grab a couple and wrap it up quickly. And then my son Chris just happened to be walking in the house as I was in the middle of this, and I said, "Hey, You know, you were asking me for Band-Aids the other day. Where did you find them? He goes, I didn't, but I have some out in my car. So he went out and got some Band-Aids, and I was able to stop the bleeding. But, sweet God, I mean, you know, like, how can you not have Band-Aids in your house?
Good question. I'd like to have a lot of them around, but, I mean, and that's just me, because I'm accident prone, I guess. I don't know.
Do you have Band-Aids in your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as many as I'd like. I'd like a large selection of different kinds.
Like different different sizes?
Well, yeah, there's different ones for different... And I never knew this until, you know, when I lived with my parents towards the end, high school, and they got this really big Band-Aid kit with, you know, all kinds of different... Yeah, ones that go on the tip of your finger, which I didn't even know existed.
For the knuckle, yeah.
Got different kinds for different situations. I thought that was really cool. I don't know why, I just thought of that.
Yeah, they do, actually. So, anyway, I've got this cut on my thumb that, again, looks no big deal. If you were to see me, you wouldn't even notice it, but I'm telling you, it is just throbbing. And then last night, every time I moved, it woke me up. By the way, did you hear the rain last night?
Yeah, that was nuts. That was crazy.
I mean, it was pouring rain.
And you think this time of year, middle of January, you don't... I mean, that's why it kind of freaked me out. I was like, what's going on out there? I'm expecting snow. You wake up and you see a bunch of snow. Instead, it's, you know, like you said, pounding rain.
Well, Anthony could sleep through a marching band coming through his room. So I got to ask, because there's this... We have an awning out back of our house, and when it rains hard, it's really loud, which is what woke me up. Did you get woken up by it, Anthony?
No, I mean, once I was up, I heard it, but I mean, yeah, it doesn't wake me up.
No, it was crazy. I mean, it just was pouring, and it happened a couple times overnight. It was pretty insane. It was pretty insane. So while we got Anthony here, Jeff, tonight in the wild world of basketball, Michigan State, they both happen to be ranked. I think it's been a while since they were both
98.
Ranked. 98, was it?
Yep.
Wow. So what do you guys think?
I think it's ridiculous that I can't find a ticket to this thing. I was talking to somebody in Ann Arbor the other day, and they said, well, you know what Michigan's doing is that they're not going to make it available for the general public. So apparently they've done a good job of selling tickets through, I have no idea where. They've sold enough already. I don't know if they're sold out or how I'm going to try and get a ticket or not. But apparently Michigan is worried that Michigan State fans will show up in droves, so they've been trying to figure out ways to sell tickets so that not as many State fans can get a hold of them, which I thought was, yeah, interesting and kind of weird. I mean, when Michigan was terrible, Michigan didn't care about, you know, I guess they did care about Michigan State fans buying them, but at least they were selling tickets, so they were, you know, at that point, it's all about capitalism, I guess. But now that both teams are good, they want to make sure they get as many Michigan fans in there as possible because they're going to sell the same amount no matter what, I would assume.
All right. Anthony, well, let's talk. Who do you think is going to win? I don't follow college basketball, so I'm not going to venture a guess. So, you know, we'll let Anthony go first. Anthony, who do you think is going to win tonight?
I mean, they're both good teams. I'm just going to pick Michigan because, I mean, they're my favorite, but... Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. They're both good teams. Michigan just has to get in a rhythm and hit threes to win the game. I mean, if they don't hit threes, they're going to lose.
Okay, Jeffrey?
That's the biggest thing that drives me nuts, is he's completely right about Michigan, is they live and die by the three. I mean, you look at them over the weekend playing Iowa, and I think Evan Smotrich was at like 0 for 8, or maybe it was Hardaway was 0 for 8, one of the two. And combined, I think they were 0 for whatever from three-point land. I mean, they just launched threes. And if they're going, then Michigan's hot. If they're not, you know, Michigan's just is in trouble. And just the way they played, Iowa's terrible, and they lost to Iowa over the weekend. Michigan State lost to Northwestern, but I think Northwestern's a really good team. And before that, Michigan State had a large winning streak going on. So right now, I think they're the more prepared team, although Michigan better not lose at home. So I'm going to pick State, but I'm hoping Michigan pulls it out.
Wow, okay. And that's fine, because, like I said, I don't follow this stuff, so I don't really have a pony in this race. I'm sure it'll be a good game. Do you know what time the game starts? Probably after my bedtime?
I would assume 7:30,
okay.
Right in there.
Well, I can watch some of it then. Absolutely. If it starts at 7:30, then I'm good to go. I've become quite a wimp. I just can't stay up anymore. I'm sure once the weather breaks or once it starts staying lighter later, it'll be easier for me to stay up a little bit. I just, you know, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. I mean, you think, I love my job, and I do. I love my job. I love doing what I do. I love the extracurricular stuff I do, especially speaking to groups. I love doing all that, but I feel like I'm missing out on something by going to bed so early. I know I complain about this a lot. It's just weird. I mean, it's just weird. Last night, you know, got done with dinner, cleaned up, and took Dominic back to state. And so it was just me and the Vinster. And Anthony was out. And so I, you know, finished cleaning up, you know, getting ready for the show. I was probably done before 7. And, you know, I watched Big Bang Theory, which I just love that show, Jeff. I just love that show.
Very good show.
I just love that show. Anyway, I watched that and a little bit of Two and a Half Men, and I thought, well, you know, there's really nothing on tonight. I might as well go to bed a little early. And I'm thinking, it's 8 o'clock. What am I doing? You know, I ended up not going to bed till about 8:45, but
well,
still.
That's what's nice about college basketball. Real short. Game starts at 7, probably be done by 9. You might be able to get it in.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to certainly check it out. I'm certainly going to check it out. Okay, well, there was a GOP debate last night, and it is getting interesting. We'll get into some of that in this hour. Of course, the big news, and we'll talk to Mihalakis and others as we work our way through the day today. Yesterday was the big protest in Ann Arbor, or the Ann Arbor environment, if you will. The governor's house, his gated community. How did that go? Lots of people showed up, by the way. We've got some audio for that as well. There was a lot going on yesterday, but not a lot going on in the world of business. Kind of an odd day in that regard. It got real quiet after I got all my homework done. Anyway, we'll take the quick break here. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No problems out there in the freeways, despite the fog and the wet roadways. Just cut back in your speed and really shouldn't be much of an issue. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain and dense fog. Temperature will drop throughout the entire day. Tonight, snow showers mainly in the evening, a low around 20, gusty winds as well. Then tomorrow, partly sunny, high in the mid-20s. Right now it's foggy and 44 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
At Green Mountain Coffee, we believe in the power of a great cup of coffee.
I realized every problem can be an opportunity if you look at it the right way.
We selectively source our coffee from across the globe. Then we carefully roast and blend it perfectly, so all the inspiration we put into it helps you get a little inspiration out.
I realized sometimes a great cup of coffee is all I need to get a new perspective.
Green Mountain Coffee, a revelation in every cup. Available in bags and K-cup servings for Keurig single-serve brewers.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Introducing the newest member of the Prius family from Toyota. Prius V has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you have access to apps like iHeartRadio, so you can listen to your favorite local stations anywhere. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V, available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Apps and services may vary by phone and carrier. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is David Hecker.
There is a surplus, and the key is we have to spend it. You know, an awful lot of times people say, well, let's stick it away in a quote-unquote rainy day fund. And, you know, the line I'm going to use has been used by many people many times, but it's pouring outside. This is when we need to spend it.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in. Let me remind you before we... I want to talk about some local stories. Before we get there, you know, you've heard me mention from time to time, and I've given you a toll-free number if you're interested in starting a union in your workplace. Take it seriously, please. For those of you that are really interested in doing that, this is going to be the quickest path to doing that. So here we go. Call 1-800-321-6406, 1-800-321-6406. It can be as anonymous as you want it to be. Just say that you're looking for more information on how to start a union in your workplace. Doesn't matter what it is you do. Doesn't matter, okay? This is just about taking that first step. Like any journey begins with the first step, right? This is that first step. 1-800-321-6406. Ask any question you need to ask. This is the place to get the answers. So that's all I'm asking you to do. Just pick up the phone and call if you're interested. Maybe there's a, not necessarily a financial situation. Maybe it's a safety situation. Maybe you just want a more coherent workplace. There could be a variety of reasons. Just call that number, 1-800-321-6406, and say, I'd like to start a union. How do I do it? All right. You know, Jeff, it occurs to me, you know, the other day I was watching the news, and, you know, we don't normally talk about this kind of news, but the guy that was painting the Ambassador Bridge and fell and disappeared, you know, they can't find him.
Right.
You know, they still haven't found his body.
I know, that is kind of weird.
Now, this morning, as I'm watching the news in my studio, they're saying that there somebody spotted a body in Gros Isle and the police are looking for it. So that may be, you know, the body may have gone downriver that way.
How far would that be?
I don't know. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know. But then I'm reading, not reading, I'm watching, then right before we went on air, apparently last night at 8 Mile and Losher, there was an SUV hit a woman and a baby that was in a carriage. The baby died this morning. Which is, of course, tragic. And I'm wondering, and this sounds like it happened very late at night, I'm wondering why this woman's, you know, walking this baby late at night in a carriage. That's just, you know, the timing's a little odd. I'm not judging. Please don't take that the wrong way. I just find it odd. But how sad. I mean, you know, there's all these local stories that we generally just don't get into this kind of stuff. But the story about the guy that was painting the Ambassador Bridge and then just falls off and disappears, you know, there's safety issues involved with that. The Myosha stuff, you know, certainly he was going to have some kind of, restraints or whatever he was going to be wearing that would keep him safe. And so, you know, was that ignored? You know, those are questions that obviously need to be answered. I know the family's quite upset because the Detroit police have given up their search. But at some point, Jeff, I mean, what do you do? I mean, they used the 4 days of sonar equipment trying to find the body, and they're just not finding them. And, of course, if you've ever been on the Detroit River, the current there can be fantastically fast.
And, right, that's why I was wondering how far down.
They could carry a body very quickly. Yes, very far, very fast. And so, of course, it's very sad. There's no question that's true. And, you know, the family's realistic. They know that he's died. It's not like they're, you know, they're waiting for them to find him alive somewhere, because that's certainly not going to happen. But this idea that the Detroit police have given up has offended this family greatly. And I guess I understand that. At the same time, I understand the police, and that how long can they do that, Jeff? How long can they continue to search for this body?
Good question. Yeah, this is maybe because I watch too many movies, and I don't want to be disingenuous or anything. But my first thought was, what if he like faked his death because they can't find his body? But then, like you said, the current, you know, and I can see how it would be hard to find something. You know, depending on what happened. I mean, the fall. Maybe, you know, who knows what could have happened at that point. But, you know, that for some reason, I'm not serious about it. But like, the conspiracy theory ever slip into your mind at all?
Not in this case, you know. No, I didn't think that at all. I used to, for a period of time, I spent a lot of time downtown, and I'm very familiar with the current of the Detroit River, which is again fantastically fast from time to time. I mean, it would blow your mind how quick it is.
Well, again, it's nothing about, you know, the Detroit River being the specifics of the case at all. But anytime I hear, like, you know, police couldn't find the body, or, you know, immediately for some reason, my thoughts are always like, oh, man, what if this guy, planned out this, you know, this elaborate plan to fake his death? I don't know why. Just maybe I'm into that, you know, that whole genre of action movies and what have not.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not going to criticize it. A little odd. By the way, we should mention, because it's well worth mentioning, the Detroit Red Wings won last night 5-0, but they have extended their home winning streak to, I believe it's 16 games, breaking a 45-year-old record.
That's impressive. That was one of those things where I saw that they were up 3-0 at the end of the first period, and it was time for me to go to bed. So I was like, 3-0, they got this in the bag, and they're at home, like you said, so I was pretty confident.
Yep. Yep, 5-0 was the final score, I believe. But just amazing that they've done so well. And, you know, they're happy about this record, but, you know, they're just humming along, doing their thing. And again, it's another year where, you know, especially it seems in our division, you got to be a really good hockey team to be in first place. And I mean a really good hockey team. Fortunately, we have a really good hockey team. All right, very quickly before, and I'm going to wait till after the break to get into some of the stuff with the debate last night and some of the local stuff. In fact, Jeff, let's preview this a little bit. Rachel Maddow did a segment last night on Public Act 4, the emergency manager bill, and our own Chris Savage, I understand, was prominently utilized.
Yeah, she quotes Eclecta blog a few times, I think, and uses actually video from it and credits his website for that and talks about stuff that she probably, I mean, this isn't the first time. I know she's somebody at least at her show is an avid reader of Eclecta Blog, so that's kind of cool.
Well, as they should be. I know you're an avid reader of Eclecta Blog as well, and have been for quite a long time. Long before we did the blog roll segment, you were an avid reader. And, you know, Chris is working on a story that's going to appear in A2 Politico, I believe, tomorrow on Michigan Rising. As you know, we've not really discussed it, but there's been some controversy, Jeff, over Michigan Rising, who is the group that is putting together the second recall of the governor. The controversy is it is actually the same group that did the first recall of the governor, and there has been a lot of question as to whether or not they're all on the up and up. Now, no disrespect to Bruce Felk, because this is not about Bruce. It's about the other people that are involved. Bruce was not involved in the original recall. I mean, he was active, but he was not involved in a management way as he is now. He's now their spokesperson, and so Chris has been working on this piece, this investigative piece, and I'm not privy to it. I have no idea what it's going to say, but you and I have both seen on our Facebook page a lot of concern about Michigan Rising. So hopefully this piece that Chris Savage is working on will calm that or solve it, one or the other. All right, let's take the break. When we come back, we've got, again, we're going to take a look at especially Rachel Maddow. We'll take a look at that first and then see what we got time for after that. But We always have time for your phone call. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. It is such a pleasure to be with you this morning. Stay with us, folks. A lot to get to. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We had an accident pop up in northern Oakland County, so keep an eye out for it. Northbound approaching East Holly Road. It's there on the right shoulder. Really shouldn't be causing any kind of delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain and fog. The high temperature is what you'll see right now. It will drop throughout the day. And when it does drop below freezing, we'll see some snow this evening. A low around 20 degrees tonight. Gusty winds as well. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high in the mid-20s. Right now, it's foggy and 44 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is, Bob Picano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Picano's never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. But I don't wish him ill, because that's like wishing the county ill, and I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Oh, to be in Afghanistan again when the poppies are in bloom. For a sign of how America's decade-long war is going in this faraway land, look at the beautiful fields of red poppies flowering so bountifully there. Unfortunately, that bounty symbolizes a failure of an ambitious Western initiative against the Taliban forces. Poppies are the raw material for producing opium, and just one Afghan province produces some 40% of the world's opium poppies. That illicit flower power fuels the Taliban with the money to buy weapons, train fighters, bribe Afghan officials, and otherwise make war. So, the West's strategy has included an all-out effort to eradicate poppy production, both by banning the crop and by helping Afghanistan's impoverished sharecroppers switch to such alternatives as wheat and cotton. Good theory, if it works. It hasn't. Many poppy growers didn't like having their sure cash crop taken away from them, so they moved to a desert region that's under Taliban control and turns out to be remarkably productive poppy land. Meanwhile, those raising wheat and cotton are producing good crops, but the Western development specialists forgot to focus on the key factor in convincing people to switch. Profit. Afghan cotton is not competitive with cheaper cotton from Pakistan, plus the lone cotton mill in the region often isn't working and is notoriously slow in paying farmers. Bottom line is that more farmers are going into the desert because, as one put it, there aren't any other crops where we can make enough money to fill our children's stomachs. Overall, poppy production in Afghanistan was up by 7% last year and is expected to increase more this year. This is Jim Hightower saying, trying to win the hearts and minds of the Afghan people is one thing, but first, take care of the children's stomachs. All those blooming poppies are yet another sign that we don't know what we're doing in Afghanistan.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. It is the 17th day of January, 2012, a glorious Tuesday morning. By the way, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day has to do in conjunction with an article on the front page of the Detroit Free Press today about Troy Mayor Janice Daniels. Anyway, you need to read the story first. But the poll question is Troy Mayor Janice Daniels being treated unfairly by the media and the more liberal members of the community? It's a yes or no. Not a whole lot of activity with the poll this morning, but it's early. So far, yeah, no, nobody's given her any love, and understandably, by the way. I don't think she's all there. I don't think she's playing with a full deck, to be honest with you. But that's just me. You got to read the story. You really do need to read the story. I posted it to the Facebook page, so it's right underneath the poll question. So you might want to check that out. All right, Rachel Maddow yesterday talked about Public Act 4. We have covered, of course, Public Act 4 extensively on First Shift, and we'll continue to do that until it goes away. Of course, the good work that they're doing over at Michigan Forward, and Brandon Jessup is just phenomenal, and they're continuing to certify signatures and doing their best to put this to rest once and for all. But let's go to Rachel Maddow and hear what she had to say, as her staff does an amazing job of reporting the truth.
I guess there's one underappreciated benefit to living in a gated community. If you live in a gated community and there is a large-scale protest against you, sometimes if your community is gated well enough, the closest the protesters can get to you is the gatehouse on the periphery of your gated neighborhood, thus leaving you in relative peace. I don't know if that's why Michigan Governor Rick Snyder lives in this particular gated community outside Ann Arbor, Michigan, but he did reap that protesters can't get near me benefit today. Governor Snyder's administration is currently considering whether or not to use the remarkable unilateral power that the Republican legislature voted to give him last year to essentially abolish the local government of Michigan's largest city and replace it with someone he puts in charge who has unilateral authority. In the year of really ambitious, sometimes radical policymaking in red states that has followed the very, very Republican 2010 elections, my personal nomination for the single most radical thing implemented by any Republican legislature and governor is what happened in Michigan. It's Michigan's expanded emergency financial manager law. It allows Rick Snyder, the state's Republican governor, to essentially, effectively, abolish all local voting rights. You vote for your city council, you vote for your town mayor, but in Michigan it does not matter who you vote for, because the results of your local election can be overruled if the Snyder administration says so. The state, the governor, will decide who's going to run your town, no matter who you vote for. He'll put in who he wants. The Snyder administration has already taken over these cities around the great state of Michigan, and now it is considering the largest city in the state. Now it is considering whether to take over Detroit. As noted a couple of months ago by the indispensable Michigan politics source Eclecta Blog, as reported by us thereafter, and as noted by three members of Congress, nine state senators, and dozens of state representatives, as well as eight Detroit City Council members in a letter they wrote to Governor Snyder recently, if Governor Rick Snyder decides that in addition to these cities he's already taken over, he is also going to overrule local decision-making, local elections, and take over Detroit and Inkster, which are the two cities now being reviewed, approximately 50% of all African-American citizens in the state would then be living under the authority of unelected managers. Think about that for a second. Congratulations, Michigan. You elected a Republican legislature and a Republican governor last time around. And so now, if you are black and you live in the state of Michigan, you may soon have only a 50-50 chance of your vote counting in Michigan toward who represents you in your city or your town. That letter that was sent to Governor Snyder a few weeks ago expressed concern about the governor's expanded emergency management law irreversibly undermining voting rights in the state. Those dozens of Michigan elected officials asked for a meeting with the governor before he took any further action under this law. We spoke with the office of the congressman who was the lead author of this letter today. The office said, to their knowledge, Michigan's governor never even responded to the letter, let alone agreed to hold the meeting. Michigan Republicans who support this emergency manager law, of course, say it has nothing to do with race. They say it's just about competence and fiscal responsibility, which somehow cannot be achieved through the democratic process, and so the democratic process must be halted. Whether or not the intention behind this law had anything to do with race, the implications, very plainly, are racially inflected in Michigan. On today's holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the president of the state NAACP opined in the Detroit Free Press, quote, in King's day, tactics such as poll taxes, intimidation, and tests were used to deny voters their rights. Today, our state government has its own tactic. The expanded emergency manager law that Lansing is using to dismantle our democracy. It abolishes our right to elect our own leaders and run our own communities. When our government can do this, we no longer truly have the right to vote. The cities and school district already under emergency manager rule are predominantly African American. If emergency managers are appointed for Inkster and Detroit, about half of Michigan's black citizens will be stripped of local representation, reduced to second-class citizens. This new law has existed for less than a year now. There's been protest and complaint as long as it has existed, including this town hall event earlier this month at a Detroit church where petitions for a citizen's repeal of the emergency manager law were circulated. But today, on the federal holiday honoring the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., there was a march on Governor Rick Snyder's house. Or rather, there was a march on the very well-guarded gatehouse well outside his house.
Beautifully done, Rachel. Beautifully done. And we're going to talk as we work our way through the day. And in fact, I think Chris Mihalakis, who's going to be with us at 7 o'clock, was in Ann Arbor yesterday. But if not, I know that he will have information on that. anyway, and we certainly will be checking in with Occupy Detroit, who was certainly at the governor's the gated community yesterday. So we'll make sure that we get to all of that. In fact, let's go to that audio now. Channel 7 was live on the scene. I think it was Vail Clark, to give credit where credit's due. And this is what Vail Clark had to say live from the governor's gated community.
Right this moment, they are just breaking up their second location. This is Parker Mill Park in Ann Arbor Township at Geddes Road and Dixboro. Now, a half dozen groups, including the Detroit chapter of Rainbow Push, Occupy for Democracy, formerly Occupy Detroit, there are labor unions, but also several other groups, everybody from Recall Snyder to just about anyone who has a gripe with the governor. They have begun to walk the winding half mile or so to Superior Township where the governor resides. This is their second location. They initially gathered at the Washtenaw County Community College. They were, some walked and others were shuttled up here. And again, they are walking approximately a half mile to Superior Township. They won't be able to get into the private gated subdivision where the governor lives, and he's not home anyway. But they are making a statement. They're changing the scenery from the steps of the Capitol. And they are, this is part of their petition drive to freeze the emergency manager law.
All right. And we have an unusual eyewitness. Actually, not eyewitness to this event, but to the governor's home himself. Our own Anthony Truppiano has been in the governor's home, and he's here today, unbeknownst to him, to talk about that. Nice house, Anthony?
Very nice house.
Gated community, sure enough, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. How did you end up in his home?
A buddy of mine used to date his daughter.
Oh, okay. that's not working out?
No.
Okay. I just thought, you know, we're trying to get him on the show, and, well, the governor doesn't seem to like us.
Sweet house, though.
All right. Is there, like, bowling alley inside, swimming pool, anything cool?
Yes, indoor swim pool, hot tub, just everything. Bar, movie theater.
Movie theater?
Movie theater.
Oh. I don't know. Sounds like a good time. So you went to a party there?
Yes.
That's interesting. Jeff, imagine, if you will, being the governor's daughter and saying, Daddy, can I have a party?
All right.
And then having Anthony walk in the house. I'm just saying.
That would be interesting, I guess. I suppose.
Was the governor home at the time, eh?
No.
And this was before he was governor. I want to make that clear.
Yes. Long before.
Back when it was okay to throw parties at your house.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine they're not doing too many parties at the house now. Very interesting. All right. Well, thank you for that eyewitness report. You didn't make out in the bedroom with some girl, his bedroom with some girl, did you?
No.
Right. No, I wasn't in his bedroom.
Oh, fair enough. Well, anyway, Anthony mentioned a long time ago that he had been there, so I just thought it was kind of cool. It is kind of cool, no question about it. Interestingly, the governor, who is, by the way, a CPA, there's a story that I ran into yesterday that says a recent poll in Michigan say that most CPAs are pessimistic about the state's and the nation's economic growth, which, of course, doesn't come as a surprise. To me, I just find it interesting that the governor being a CPA. In fact, I posted this story to the Facebook page yesterday and got some interesting responses. But by the way, have we heard, speaking of Facebook, have we heard from our winner yesterday?
I have not. Okay. Actually, I sent him your email address. So if you haven't heard from him, then...
Oh, you're right.
Then we haven't heard from him yet.
No, we have not heard from him yet. It was Will, right? Was his name Will?
Will, yep.
Okay, Will, if you're listening, dude, you won the caption contest. You got to let us know or we're going to have to go pick a new winner.
We have a second choice in mind, so Will.
Okay. And we actually had some people add to the list. I don't know if you've looked at it since yesterday's show, but there's a couple more people had posted.
Oh, yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah. I'll have to go check that out.
All right, I'll get to this CPA story in the next hour. I want to get to the GOP stuff in the next segment. So we'll take a quick break here. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll take the break, and we'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after we take this break. Stay with us.
Oh, yeah, and come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
My guest is Grant Bossy. He is with Watchdog.org in New Hampshire.
I don't think the ads are particularly negative or worse than they used to be. They're coming from the sweetness and apple pie pack instead of from the candidates themselves, and we don't have those ridiculous 3 seconds of I approve this message at the end. But other than that, I think they might be losing their effectiveness a little more, you know, in the age of DVRs when we just fast forward through all the commercials.
First Shift with Tony
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You absolutely are. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock, Chris Mialakis in the next hour. Also, Occupy Detroit will join us as well. The GOP debate was last night. Well, the one of two in South Carolina. It was quite colorful. At one point, Rick Perry calls out Mitt Romney to release his taxes. Although we couldn't find the audio of Mitt's response, I do have it in print, and I will read it. But let's listen to what Rick Perry said to Mitt before we go to Mitt's response.
Having been the governor of the state that created over 1 million net new jobs, that we're all about capitalism, and I think our record proves that we're all about capitalism. But I visited Georgetown, South Carolina. It was one of those towns where there was a steel mill that Bain swept in. They picked that company over, and there were a lot of people lost jobs there. And the fact of the matter is, we've got records. We've got records. My record is one of those that's been open to the public for quite a few years. And as a matter of fact, my income tax have been out every year. And, Newt, I think you're going to let your income tax come out Thursday. And, Mitt, we need for you to release your income tax so the people of this country can see how you made your money. And I think that's a fair thing. Listen, here's the real issue for us. As Republicans, we cannot fire our nominee in September. We need to know now. So I hope you'll put your tax records out there this week so the people of South Carolina can take a look and decide if, you know, we got a flawed candidate or not.
All right. Now, here's and Mitt's response was interesting. Mitt didn't actually respond to that query at that time. All right. So I want to point that out. It actually, came up a couple more times. Finally, one of the moderators pushed Mitt Romney and said, please answer the question. This is what Mitt Romney said. But, you know, it's if that's been a tradition, I'm not opposed to doing that. Time will tell. But I anticipate that most likely I'm going to get asked to do that in April time period. And I'll keep that open, he said. Prodded again, he said, I think I've heard enough from folks saying, look, you know, let's see your tax records. I have nothing in them that suggests there's any problem, and I am happy to do so. I sort of feel like we're showing a lot of exposure at this point, and if I become your nominee, and what's happened in history is people have released them in about April of the coming year, and that's probably what I do. That was the answer. Are you comfortable with that answer? Are you comfortable that Mitt Romney's being forthcoming with regard to his taxes, his tax return? I'm not. I'm certainly not. Why can't he just say, yeah, absolutely, let me have my accountant throw him out there next Thursday? How hard would that be? Do you think he's trying to hide something? I mean, at some point he's going to have to release them, right? I mean, everybody does now. It's not like you hide this stuff. And maybe he's afraid for us to see just how wealthy he is. And, folks, he is wealthy.
Maybe Rick Perry's got a point. Yeah, he's waiting until the point where you can't fire him anymore. Like, he's the nominee. Bam, here's my taxes. You guys are stuck with me.
And that's basically, you know, and that's why I do find it a little interesting that Mitt Romney says, well, yeah, generally around April is when you traditionally do that, but let's also be honest with it. Around April, he may be the last man standing. And so you're right. That's exactly what Rick Perry's referencing. By April, it may not matter. And I think you're right. You and I were talking before the show, and you had said, it almost sounds like Rick Perry's kind of conceded the election to Mitt Romney. I think you're right. I think he has. I think that a lot of these guys are just hanging around to make Mitt Romney look bad for as long as they possibly can, Jeff.
Is it to make him look bad or to make him look good in some cases?
Bad. Oh, come on.
They're trying to rally around, you know, because it seems like there's a push now that, okay, he's the guy, and we need to stop the negative attacks. I mean, Huntsman immediately took down all his website material that was attacking Mitt and threw his, you know, his full 1% support behind Mitt, but it seems like they're circling the wagons a little bit.
Well,
some of them, maybe. I mean, obviously, Newt still has his, you know,
vendetta,
right?
Well, here's the deal. I believe you sent me this the article yesterday. Is South Carolina the last gasp for the Tea Party and GOP nomination? And the article starts off by saying, with the South Carolina primary 5 days away, the Tea Party movement has accelerated its efforts to leverage what is likely its last opportunity to influence the Republican nomination process. The movement has thus far struggled to coalesce behind one candidate, despite Mitt Romney's victories in the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire and endorsements from the likes of conservative South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. He has yet to win the support of the elusive Tea Party. Many in the grassroots movement vehemently oppose the former Massachusetts governor, who they deem to be no different than President Obama politically and ideologically. In a poll conducted by Judson Phillips, who is the founder of the Tea Party Nation, and as Jeff likes to point out, the Tea Party Nation is different than the Tea Party Patriots and other factions within the Tea Party movement, 40% of Tea Partiers said they would not vote for Romney in the general election. So, Jeff, my question to you is simple. Is the Tea Party, do they even care about the nomination of Mitt Romney, or are they going to stick with congressional and statewide races?
No, I think you're right. The second one. I think that they're presidential, they've already given up. I mean, they right now it's Mitt Romney, and I don't think that I don't know that they're incredibly happy with it. But I think that they have found that they can make a bigger difference, perhaps, or you know, at least they can make their impact on the local races.
Yeah, and I think that that's again where. Reading between the lines here, I just don't think they would have loved to have had a Tea Party president. First of all, they don't have the influence that they think they do. That's clear. And secondly, I think that they've given up and are just happy to control even the dog catcher in your community if that's up for election. Let's go to the phones quickly before we got to get out of here because we're up against the clock. Jeff in Milford joins us now. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, pal?
Well, I just wanted to talk to you a little about Mitt and Perry there. Now, Perry claims he created a million jobs, but what he created was a million part-time and very low-wage-paying jobs, like service jobs that pay less than minimum wage. Second of all, if Romney has all this time frame between now and April, he can get his two or three sets of books out there and say, hey, yeah, this is what I made, and this is what I'm telling you that I made. And this is what you think that I made. So, yeah, he's got lots of bucks. Most of his money is offshore. So while he's trying to swing the rest of the nation to vote for him, that's just my point for the morning.
All right, and you make a good point. You bring us to the break. Jeff, thank you so much. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. When we continue, Chris Mihalakis will be with us. Hey, listen, folks, it's going to be a great morning. Make sure you stay with us. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano. First Shift continues after we take this top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have a couple of accidents out there now. 94 westbound at 12 mile. It's on the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up to Gratiot. Also, 94 westbound at Ecorse Road. We have an accident reported there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain and fog. The temperature outside right now will be the highest of the day. It's going to steadily drop throughout the entire day to the point we'll see some snow this evening. A low around 20 degrees with some snow showers overnight. Wednesday, partly sunny, a high in the mid-20s. Right now it's foggy and 44 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, Captain Francesco Schettino of the capsized Italian cruise ship is in court today to face charges that he caused the disaster, killing at least six people. Prosecutors want to press manslaughter charges against him. Also, a transcript has come to light showing that the Port Authority had to order Scatino to return to the ship and help with rescues. Journalist Barbie Nadeau reports that alone could put the captain in serious trouble.
Abandoning ship is a serious maritime offense, and that's the one that they're going to make stick. And I suspect that these transcripts are going to be the crux of that investigation against him. You've got the Italian Port Authority ordering the captain back on the ship. It's going to be hard for any defense team to defend a captain on that.
Congress returns from its holiday break today. Among other things, it'll take on the issue of payroll tax cuts. American approval of Congress now is at a record low. CNN's Andy Rose has details.
The new CNN ORC poll shows that only 11% of Americans approve of the way Congress is doing its job. Slightly more Americans approve of Democrats than Republicans. It's the lowest rating CNN has ever recorded in its polling on Congress, going back decades.
His Republican rivals tried to dislodge Mitt Romney from his front-runner perch at last night's GOP presidential debate. Newt Gingrich questioned Romney's credentials to be able to defeat Barack Obama.
We need to satisfy the country that whoever we nominate has a record that can stand up to Barack Obama in a very effective way.
Saudi Arabia promises to pick up the slack if oil production is lost by any sanctions against Iran's oil industry. Saudi oil minister Ali Al-Naimi says he's not overly concerned about Iran's threats to close the Strait of Hormuz.
I personally do not believe that the strait, if it were shut, will be shut for any length of time. The world cannot stand for that.
Al-Naimi says he hopes Saudi Arabia can keep the world oil price at about $100 a barrel. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
We're all resolving to run our lives a little better. Why not start with making sure our vehicles run better, too?
The seasons have taken a toll on your car and your car battery. But Sears Auto Center, featuring diehard batteries, is here to help. Come in today and ask about a free battery check so you don't have to worry about getting stuck with a dead battery. Plus, save on all Michelin tires and get a $70 Sears Award card instantly when you buy four. So you can add another resolution to your list, saving some money. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center. While card quantities last, in-store only. Ends 1/28. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Take it from Dave Lennox. At the end of the day, it's all about comfort. And the same is true for the middle of the day, the morning, and all night long. A new high-efficiency home comfort system from Lennox will keep your family comfortable 24/7 and reduce your utility bills. Right now, your local Lennox dealer has the system you're looking for. So call 1-800-9-LENNOX or visit Lennox.com to find the Lennox dealer nearest you.
Lennox dealers include independently owned and operated businesses.
Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Because Wall Street was closed yesterday, today will be the first opportunity for U.S. investors to weigh in on Carnival Corporation. The company whose cruise lines include Costa estimates financial losses of $95 million or more this year, stemming from Saturday's Costa Concordia tragedy off the Italian coast. And that is only if an environmental disaster such as a fuel leak can be prevented. In European trades yesterday, Carnival stock fell 16%. This week is when Wall Street receives an onslaught of earnings reports from the financial industry. Investors will be looking for impact from the European financial crisis on U.S. banks. Today we hear from Wells Fargo and Citigroup, firms including Bank of America and Goldman Sachs later on. Even following a Standard & Poor's downgrade of the European Financial Rescue Fund, Asian and European markets are pushing 1% higher today, the downgrade surprising no one after S&P cut ratings of several European countries helping supply the fund last week. S&P futures up 10 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $49 or more of HP ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday, limit 2.
It's after work. You look at your iPhone and discover an urgent request. You could drive back to the office to log onto your computer, but who wants to do that? With the new Go to My PC app for the iPhone, you could take care of that last-minute request from anywhere. Use the Go to My PC app by Citrix to access your work computer to work on any program or file. It's like having your computer in your pocket. Try it free for 45 days. Download the free app, then visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, enter promo code 45.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January 17th, the year 2012. And I have a pleasure to be with you. We've got a great hour of radio. In fact, the next 2 hours are pretty fantastic. Fortunate to have some great people in our lives and happy to share them. With you, you of course know that at 7:50 we have just branded that as Occupy Detroit. So that's what we'll do at 7:50. But in the meantime, we have lots of other things to get to, and including Chris Mihalakis, which we will in just a moment. I want to remind you, if you'd like to connect with us, our phone number, toll free, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's get things going, guys. Give me my intro, and let's rock.
First Shift honors our political and legislative director from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union.
I've been working in politics for years, and let me tell you what the Republicans think. The Republicans think the problem with our economy is that you, the listener, have it too good. They want to lower your wages. They want to weaken your collective bargaining rights if you're fortunate enough to have them. Here is Chris Mihalakis.
Yoo-hoo! And here is Chris Mihalakis. Pleasure to have you with you with us today. Not in studio, but that's okay. I'll take you any way I can get you, Chris.
I appreciate that, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And the roads are pretty crummy this morning, so I thought I'd call in today.
No, that's fine. And I got to tell you, for most people, it was just a busy day yesterday. You've had a busy weekend. Right. You've been going the last 3 days nonstop.
Yeah, it was a very incredible weekend, a lot of energy. I've never been to a labor conference like I attended this last weekend. And really, it started off on Thursday. People were kind of coming in from all over the country for the AFL-CIO's Martin Luther King conference. They do this every year on MLK weekend. And Thursday, we had the people of Wayne, Oakland, Macomb counties organized the march down Woodward and a rally at Grand Circus Park. And I was fortunate enough to participate in that. And we were rallying against, the potential of, an emergency manager coming to Detroit. We're very worried about that, for, a whole multitude of reasons that we'll get into a little bit later. And then throughout the weekend, we had these wonderful speakers, and folks from all over the country really, engaged and very interested to hear what's going on in Detroit, how it's a threat to civil rights, a threat to collective bargaining rights, and a threat to the legacy that Dr. King left us. Yesterday I was fortunate enough to emcee a panel that had a lot of, youthful leadership from the city of Detroit. It included Donnell White, who's the executive director of the NAACP, an amazing guy, and you know, someone who I definitely look forward to working with in the future. Also, you know, a fairly young guy too. It's great to see that the NAACP has such great, vibrant young leadership there. We also had a student from Cass Tech, Jasmine Jackson, read excerpts from Dr. King's "I've Been to the Mountaintop" speech, and then I don't think anyone will be offended if I say the highlight of yesterday was Rainbow Push's own Reverend David Bullock, who just gave an amazing, unbelievable speech. I mean, you know, I still get chills thinking about it today. Really moved the whole crowd in the room. And
Chris, we were fortunate enough to have him on the show yesterday morning as well.
That's right. That's right. In fact, when I first saw him, I mentioned that to him, and he did a great job yesterday. And in fact, he came to our event right after he got off the air with you. And so your audience knows how dynamic of a speaker he is, and how great of a leader he is. And we're really blessed, planning to have some great young leadership in the city of Detroit as we prepare for this fight and for countless other legislative and political fights that we have down the road. And you know, in preparation for this yesterday, Tony, I kind of revisited Dr. King's "I've Been to the Mountaintop" speech a little bit, and I was fortunate enough to be able to talk about this yesterday in my remarks. And what really I find interesting about this speech is that it's not only this was the last speech Dr. King ever gave. He gave it in Memphis to the sanitation workers the night before he was assassinated, and it was as much a union speech as it was a civil rights speech. And a couple lines I love, and I think many of us in the labor movement can agree with and can really adhere to, is this. He tells us, "Be concerned about your brother. You may not be on strike, but we either go up together or we go down together. Let us develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness." And I love that phrase, a dangerous unselfishness. He later goes on to say in the speech, you know, he's talking about the Good Samaritan and the road to Jericho. And he says, "The question is not, if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them?" And, you know, this is something that those of us in organized labor need to keep in mind. If public sector employees are under attack, teachers are under attack, police and fire are under attack, and, of course, everybody's under attack with a threat of right to work. But these laws that we're passing, limiting the scope of collective bargaining, it's a threat to everybody in this country, not just those who are members of those particular unions. And I gotta tell you, Tony, I really give credit to my bosses, Roger Robinson, president of Local 876 of the United Food and Commercial Workers, and Marv Russo, president of Local 951. They have done a phenomenal job in doing what we can do to work with these public sector unions and to help them in this time when they're under attack, because, you know, it's them today and it's us tomorrow. And, we're all in this together. As Dr. King says, we go up together or we go down together.
As I'm listening to you talk, I'm mindful, Chris, that, you know, sometimes in times of crisis, and I think history will probably remember this way, but as you were talking about honoring those, your quote-unquote, your bosses, and also you started off this discussion by honoring the young leaders that have stepped up and that are now participating in this process. It's only, Chris, through crisis that I think we accomplish that kind of juxtaposition.
You know, that's an interesting point, Tony. I think that when our backs are up against the wall, labor does a good job of coming together and helping each other out and being there for each other. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, what's interesting is while labor does a good job of that, it seems like our opponents do a really good job of doing the exact opposite. For example, Michigan's been in economic crisis mode for a while, and so the right wants to use this as an excuse this is shock doctrine. They want to eliminate collective bargaining, and they want to completely eliminate elections and democracy for local elected officials. I mean, it's the fact that people aren't just completely up in arms over the fact that Detroit could not have a say in who their local elected officials are, and that Pontiac already doesn't, Benton Harbor doesn't, Flint doesn't. I mean, these are, you know, there's cities in Michigan where there is no democracy on the local level. And, you know, so many people in the state are silent about this. And I find it very confusing. You know, where's the Tea Party that supposedly was concerned about protecting the Constitution and preserving our rights? Where are they speaking out against this injustice? You know, when anyone in this country doesn't have a right to a local elected government, it should concern all of us. And that was a big theme around this weekend, is how, you know, the civil rights of those in Detroit are under attack.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's fascinating as we, again, as we take a, as we're in the middle, and I shouldn't even say take a step back, as we're in the middle of this amazing struggle for acceptance, for change. And again, 2012 needs to be the year of change, Chris. It needs to be about not just turning 20 seats in the House, but so many issues that need to be fought on the ground. And we may not have the opportunity to fight them through referendum. We may not have anything but our ability to vote and at the polling place, and that may be all we have. And the getting out the vote, I don't know that is ever going to be as, you know, when we say this, I think you and I had this conversation last week.
Yeah.
Where we talked about, you know, why is it that every election is the most important election of our lifetime? Well, it just happens to be true.
Right. I mean, the stakes keep getting raised. You know, the right and the CEOs and the big corporations in this world, they keep raising the stakes every year. And, you know, they keep trying to squeeze more and more blood from the turnip, as Virge Bernal used to say. And, you know, they keep squeezing us and squeezing us, and it's time that we fight back and bring some equality to our economy and to our government. And, you know, I think there's a lot at stake this year. I think that we all need to be concerned about the fact that there's Republicans in Lansing that are obsessed with restricting democracy.
Absolutely.
Whether it's...
Hold that thought, Chris. We got to get to the
sure.
break. Chris Mihalakis with us, legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. I am Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Much more to get to on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This tunnel traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Accidents out there on the freeways, 94 westbound at E-Course. We've got a rollover accident on the left shoulder. Also, 94 westbound at 12 mile. An accident there on the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up to Gratiot. 94 westbound at Little Mac as well. An accident there on the left shoulder. Traffic is backed up to Harper. I'm Russ with traffic.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese or the golden McChicken. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, rain is expected and will happen today with it moving into the area right now. Fog, obviously, once you've looked outside, you know it's a little bit foggy. The high temperature today is pretty much what's happening right now. It will drop throughout the day, leading to some snow showers tonight, a low around 20, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high just in the mid-20s. Right now, it's foggy and 44 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at Office Max, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices. Like when you buy a case of X9 paper for $41.99, you get $41.98 back in Max Perks bonus rewards. It's like paying one penny for a full case of paper. Find all the big deals now at Office Max. But please don't step on our elephant. Limit 2. Offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi. I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
That's not the next cold front. That's top-rated heating and air conditioning equipment blowing out of our warehouse during Service Expert's huge winter clearance sale. Save big on brand-new, high-efficiency equipment. Air conditioners as low as $27 per month. Furnaces from $39 per month. Call Service Expert's Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS, also known as Bryant Heating and Cooling Service Experts. Hurry, sale ends February 29th. Visit serviceexperts.ca for finance details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back to 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Chris Mihalakis, of course, is with us. Normally, he's with us at 8 o'clock, but... As he does once a month, accommodates Cindy Estrada, who is on with us today at 8 o'clock. Chris, don't know if you saw the wonderful profile the Free Press did on Cindy in Sunday's paper, which was what we're going to actually talk to her about today, but it was awfully good.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. I was really excited to see the Free Press write about her. I mean, she's definitely a great... I mean, we were talking about young, dynamic leaders in the city of Detroit, and... there's a fantastic example of one. I mean, Cindy's amazing. I love working with her. And I'm excited that you're able to get her on the show once a month. And, you know, I always love hearing what she has to say.
Well, here's a real coincidence. My wife actually grew up with Cindy.
Wow.
So as she's going through the paper on Sunday, she gives me that section where Cindy's profile was. And she goes, you know, I know her. You should get her on your show. and it just so happens that, well, my wife stops listening to the show just before 8 o'clock, and Cindy's on at 8 o'clock, so she, of course, would not hear Cindy on the show.
Right, right. Well, it's funny, you know, your wife knows Cindy, your son's hanging out in the governor's mansion. I mean, you guys really got it going on.
Hey, we're connected. Where am I in all this? I'm just doing a little radio show, that's all. I'm just doing a radio show. Everybody else is connected, not me. Did you participate, by the way, in the walk to the governor's gated community yesterday?
No, Tony, I wasn't able to march on the governor's mansion. I had some other engagements, but I was there for the march in Detroit, and this was really cool. What we did yesterday, we had a march on Thursday, but we had another march yesterday. And there was a program at Central United Methodist Church every year. Reverend Rowe has a really great program at his church with all sorts of wonderful speakers. We even had the Mosaic Youth Theater there performing some songs, and they did a fantastic job. But after that service ended, the whole crowd from the church, plus everybody who was at the AFL-CIO conference, all gathered together in one big crowd, and we marched from Central United Methodist Church all the way down Washington Avenue, recreating Dr. King's march down Washington Avenue, which, by the way, was the first time the I Have a Dream speech was ever delivered. It was delivered in Detroit years before, a year or two before it was delivered in Washington, D.C. And we found something out that was very interesting over the weekend. Dr. King, before that march, and in anticipation of it, was in Detroit that weekend. And Walter Reuther, president of the UAW then, actually was partially responsible for bringing Dr. King in and gave him space in Solidarity House where he to sit down and do some writing and to plan his remarks for the coming rally. And I believe, and you know, someone please feel free to call in and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the story goes he was writing a draft of that, of the I Have a Dream speech, but it wasn't quite finished yet. And during the rally, someone who knew Dr. King very well and knew he was working on this speech yelled out, "Tell him about your dream, Martin." And he stopped in the middle of his speech in Detroit and started delivering the I Have a Dream bit. But, you know, the fact that one of the most famous speeches in American history was not only first delivered in Detroit, but written in UAW's office at Solidarity House is just something we should all be proud of.
Absolutely. And in fact, Dr. King, to hone that speech even further, delivered it at the University of Michigan at one point as well. So that the I Have Dreams speech is steeped in a deep and seriously, Chris, a very deep Michigan history.
Yeah. Yep. Without a doubt. And obviously, you know, Detroit was a city where Dr. King, you know, wanted to see some more equality. And now with this threat of an emergency manager coming down, I mean, what's that say about Dr. King's dream and Dr. King's legacy, at least what those in Lansing think about it? You know, the fact that we're very seriously considering eliminating local democracy, which, you know, in many cases is one of the most important levels of the democratic process for over 50% of African Americans in the state is just absolutely appalling. And I think, you know, we need to work together with, you know, both parties, both sides of the aisle, and find solutions that don't require, you know, this abuse of power and taking away the voting rights of millions and millions of Michiganders.
Well, of course, we talked in great detail yesterday about what Dr. King would have thought of Public Act 4 and what's going on today and how he would certainly have been fighting for these things. But he also, you know, I think would have been, Chris, did quite disgusted that here we are in the year 2012 and still fighting for and holding up those ideas that he had spoke of decades earlier as something that we should be placing our focus and attention on and still to not have accomplished what we need to. In order to move on from that. And we've not done it, Chris. We just haven't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tony. And I don't know if Reverend Bullock spoke about that on the show yesterday.
Yeah, he certainly did. Yeah, he did. We had a nice conversation about that.
Yeah, because he definitely talked about it with those of us in the labor movement yesterday. And that was the heart of his speech about how we've come a long way. But we still have a very, very long way to go. And, I mean, you know, even when you look at what's going on with these Republican debates and Republican primaries, during the break, Tony, I was checking HuffPost and saw Newt Gingrich was praised by the audience in South Carolina for a little bit of a racial tiff he got into with Juan Williams. And, you know, basically defending what he said, that black children should be employed as janitors in schools. And then when Juan Williams mentioned something like, can't you understand why African Americans would be upset about this? The crowd booed him. They booed Juan Williams.
And yes, they did. In fact, we have that audio and we're going to play it in the next segment so people know what we're talking about. But yeah, it's we've got a long way to go, Chris.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, we've got a long way to go before we are even close to saying that, we have any kind of racial equality in this country. I don't know. It's one of those things that have been a thorn in my craw for so long now. And as far back as I can remember, my father, who was in the grocery business, you know, always had a very diverse staff, always hired very diverse staff. And I remember being a young kid. You know, when I was a young kid, Chris, my dad had a grocery store in downtown Detroit during the riots, and his employees stood in front of that store to make sure that it was not looted. He was a very fair and equitable guy. Well, listen, we're just out of time for today. We'll look forward to having you back in studio tomorrow, though, Chris. Enjoy your morning, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right, brother. God bless you. Have a great day. A quick break here, folks. We're going to get to that Juan Williams audio on the other side of this, so you're going to want to stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. Don't forget, at 7:50, we have Occupy Detroit with us. A lot more to get to. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still a couple of accidents out there on the freeways. Not for westbound at E-Course Road, a rollover accident blocking the left shoulder. Some Gawker delays there. Also, not for westbound at 12 Mile, accident on the right shoulder causing some delays. Not for westbound at Little Mac, right before the other one. Have an accident there on the left shoulder causing delays back to Harper. Still looking at some slowdowns on 696 westbound between Mound and 75 as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain is very likely. A dense fog advisory for the entire area until late this morning. Tonight, snow showers after the temperature drops, mainly before 7 p.m., a low around 20, and then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 26. Right now, it's foggy and 44 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin's official state capitol memorial for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is the oldest in the nation. This year's tribute was especially charged because Dr. King gave his life in defense of public worker collective bargaining, and Wisconsin's governor is being recalled for attacking that right. The public employee union AFSCME was born in Wisconsin. Today, petition signatures to recall Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker for the governor's attack on collective bargaining will be turned in. With Walker sitting directly behind her, Wisconsin MLK Day keynote speaker Professor Sherilyn Eiffel had this to say about Dr. King and the struggle for human rights.
We know that Dr. King would have been on the side of workers struggling to receive a fair wage and decent working conditions. We know this. We know this. We know this. We know this not because Dr. King was partisan. Dr. King famously said, "Both political parties have betrayed the cause of justice." We know this because Dr. King died in Memphis, Tennessee, where he had come to march in solidarity with the city's striking black sanitation workers. As part of his Poor People's Campaign, King had moved his attention from segregation and voting to the economic conditions of the country's most marginalized people.
Some details have emerged about working conditions at an Apple subcontractor in Asia. Jesse Russell reports.
Apple has released its annual audit on the working conditions at subcontractor plants in Asia. The software and electronics giant left out names of the subcontractors responsible for violations of its conduct code, but wasn't short on details of abuses taking place. Fortune magazine published a number of the findings in the report. 42 facilities had payment practice violations, including delayed payment for employees' wages and no pay slips provided to employees. 68 facilities did not provide employees adequate benefits as required by laws and regulations. 49 facilities did not provide employees with paid leaves or vacation. 67 facilities used deductions from wages as disciplinary measures. 108 facilities did not pay proper overtime wages as required by laws and regulations. And at 5 facilities, Apple discovered a total of 6 active and 13 historical cases of underage labor. Apple uses 156 subcontractors for the manufacturing of its products. Nearly 70% had at least one violation. After these findings were compiled, Apple only ended a contract with one of the subcontractors, who they described as a repeat offender.
This newscast made possible in part by the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers and the United Mine Workers of America. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
First Word.
First Thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WGTW with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock, my thanks again to Chris Mialakis. So we'll look forward to having you in studio next week, and looking forward to the rest of the show. Before I go any further, though, I want to point out, if you go to the First Shift Facebook page, Chris Savage from Eclectablog has posted three separate things. One of them is his live blogging from MLK Day, the march to the governor's house. One of them is a link to the Rachel Maddow show, which we played the audio of a little earlier on in the show today. And third are just a boatload of pictures from the march yesterday. And so if you want to get an update on that, just go on over to the Facebook page and click through. And you're going to see a lot of great stuff, especially the pictures. The pictures are phenomenal. And I believe it was Chris's wife that took those photos, so give her credit where credit is due. And I actually had a chance to meet her not too long back, a nice lady. All right, as we were mentioning to during our segment with Mr. Mihalakis, Juan Williams and Newt Gingrich had their moment during the debate, the GOP debate yesterday in South Carolina. This is what it sounded like.
Speaker Gingrich, you recently said black Americans should demand jobs, not food stamps. You also said poor kids lack a strong work ethic and proposed having them work as janitors in their schools. Can't you see that this is viewed at a minimum as insulting to all Americans, but particularly to black Americans?
No, I don't see that.
No, I don't see that.
And I cut that off. I mean, they go cheering for much longer than that. And then he goes on to say, you know, his daughter worked as a janitor in a church or something.
All right. Well, but the point is, and this is not the first time this has happened, whenever they characterize, I had posted a video that you had actually sent to me yesterday, Jeff, of a woman that Mitt Romney gave $50 or $60 to. Do you recall sending me that?
Yeah.
All right. So I put it up there and asked, and I again, I'm trying to be. Really, I'm making a concerted effort to be a lot less heavy-handed when I post stuff. I just want opinion. So I posted it just, hey, what do you think of this story? You know, please watch the video. It was very, you know, just put it out there. That's all I'm doing. Of course, as well as the thing about the Huntsman girls, but we'll come back to that. I post this story about this woman who was given, she was on a rope line and Romney gave her $50 or $60. And I asked people, you know, what are your thoughts? And we got some really interesting responses. But what I found interesting as I watched it and then really paid attention to the reaction that this piece was getting on the internet, it was actually the African American, the woman happened to be African American, and it was the African American community that said, you know, she makes us look bad. She's a stereotype. Black woman can't take care of herself, doesn't have a man to take care of her, you know, has got her hand out. Now, I certainly didn't read that into it, but it's interesting how the African-American community did read that into it.
Well, at that point, no matter what she was, I mean, maybe she is, you know, whatever characteristics she had, wouldn't they, people of those same characteristics, say that though? Like, well, it just further stereotypes furthers it.
Yes.
I mean, like, I can't even think of another stereotype, but people would be saying, hey, you know, that's why I just thought it seemed so scripted and almost, you know, like Mitt didn't think about it ahead of time.
Well, and again, let me just hear, since I think I've got it right here. Let me just expand the comments section. I'll read a couple of the comments. And the point I'm making here, you know, going back to the Juan Williams thing, why do we have to, because this is, I think, stereotypical. I'm going to just randomly read a couple of the comments. I think it's a photo op and has to do with the fact that President Obama has written checks without hype to help people who have written him. I read an article a few months ago about that, but I will cut Romney some slack if he is doing it. I still won't vote for him. Okay, fair enough. Charles writes, if he really wanted to help the woman, he would have offered her a job at his local campaign office. Today, she is still unemployed. Give a man a fish, teach a man to fish, blah, blah, blah. Krista writes, I respect people more who make personal donations in private and who work toward systemic changes. Real economic reform, equal opportunity and jobs and education, ongoing support for the needy in public. And it goes on from there. You know, so the responses were kind of all over the place. Of course, I don't know if these respondents are black or white. It's irrelevant. And actually, it's not irrelevant because that's the kind of the point is who does this stuff anger? But, you know, when we make examples out of people, and if you watch the video, which I did, Jeff, you know, this woman, seems very appreciative of what the governor did, Governor Romney. And then she goes on to say that, you know, somebody else had paid her light bill a couple days later. And she's just effusive in her praise, which is wonderful, except it gets a little overboard after a while. And I don't know if you watched it, Jeff, or you watched all of it, but she ends up crediting God. That's right. She said God sent her. I don't know. Again, this is the way the story goes. That she was talking to God in her car, and the Romney campaign bus happened to be at the intersection she was at, and God told her to follow the bus. So she follows the bus to the airport, and then all this stuff happens. So she mentions more than one time that it was, without God, none of this would have happened. So take it for what it's worth. Did God speak to her? If he did, then, you know, maybe Mitt Romney is the next coming of the presidency anyway. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. But, you know, again, Newt Gingrich isn't going to back down. I can see where Juan Williams is coming from. I'd have been offended, and I was offended by his remarks. Very, very odd choice of remarks from the presidential candidate, but you know, Newt Gingrich isn't necessarily known for his sensitivity, so we'll take that for what it's worth. So anyway, 888-552-3595. I pull another story. I want to just switch topics here for just a moment. Jeff is very concerned about online identity theft, and he should be. I mean, it's a very legitimate concern. I think he's a little overboard paranoid about it, and I'm just, and nothing I haven't said to him privately, and I don't, you know, I'm not calling him out, but I reminded as I was looking, and just so happens we were having this conversation right after the show yesterday, or maybe it was during the show, during one of the breaks, about buying stuff online, and Jeff was explaining how he did it, and I thought, well, you know, I bought, you know, thousands of things online at this point, as has Anthony. Zappos, who is an Amazon-owned shoe and apparel retailer, was hacked into, and people were, whoever hacked into them were able to get passwords and partial credit card numbers. You know, Zappos has cleaned us up, but Jeff, it just kind of, you know, reiterates and emphasizes why you have a legitimate concern about your online identity, and so instead of hiding behind it, I thought I would bring it up forward.
Well, that's thanks. I appreciate it. Actually, I do stuff online that I'm still kind of leery about. I just try not to throw the credit card. I mean, because we were having a discussion about how you shop cheaper online and what, you know, all this and that. And I still would almost rather go into the store and see it for myself and then take it home right then. I don't like waiting either.
Okay,
I'm just weird about stuff.
No, I understand that, but I still believe it is very safe to shop online. It's, you know, the key. To me, the key to a successful online shopping experience is to have a sophisticated password. I really believe that, and I think your password, no matter, you know, where you use it, should be somewhat sophisticated.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is not a good password then.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were, but they came out a couple months ago. Maybe you and I talked about this, of the most obvious passwords, or the biggest password mistakes people make, like 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, people actually still do that.
Password?
a password. That's right. That was the number one. And the number one mistake was using password as password. Just crazy. I mean, it's just crazy that people do that. I mix it up. I change it up, a little variant. But I think that's the key to having a safe online profile and safer. I don't think you're ever completely safe, Jeff, but you're never completely safe at the store.
No, that's another thing. They used to just run that thing across your card and it made an imprint on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I always, not just that. I mean, even when they type it in or when you're calling it in over the phone, I always wonder, if I'm yelling, if I'm repeating the number to you, I'm giving you all the stuff you need to then use my credit card somewhere else. I always wonder about that, too.
All right. Well, people do need to be careful with that stuff. But it is what it is. Now, are you a cash over credit card kind of guy?
Most of the time.
See, I don't have credit cards. I have debit card.
Debit card is what I'm about. Yeah, I like that the best.
That's it. I don't have credit cards. I do not ever get a bill. It's been well over a decade since I had to pay a credit card bill.
I was supposed to use it to build up credit, so I didn't.
I don't care.
You don't care about building up credit?
I don't care at this point. I have a house. Because of this market, I'm not going to be moving. I don't need to worry about how good my credit score is. I'm happy to be who I am. If I can't afford it, then I can't buy it. How's that?
It's nice. It's good financial responsibility there.
It really works for me. I'm telling you, it really works for me. All right, a quick break here. When we come back, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. Again, go on over to Eclectablog and check out some great photos. Yesterday, Chris's wife, Ann, did a beautiful job of capturing the moment. Really some great stuff over there. Or you can just go to the Facebook page at First Shift and click on through. But really some really nice stuff at Eclectablog. We'll take the break. We'll be back with Shannon right after we do this.
Chip with Tony.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. And I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughter. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us.
First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And it is time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And Shannon gets that fancy new open we just unveiled for you folks. Shannon McEvely joins us now from Occupy Detroit. How do you like that opening for you, Shannon?
Oh, my God, that was great. Well, is that the first time that... Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Well, just for you guys, because we love you.
Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it, Tony.
Well, you know, you take a step back and listen, and there's certain realities of my day, and getting up as early as I do and being as truly as committed to information. I mean, to know what I need to know, you know, really requires a great deal of dedication to staying current, and that requires me to sit in front of a computer, unfortunately, and read. And nothing replaces that, Shannon. And so, you know, there's that activist part of me that needed to do more. You know, this is, I guess, a little of a guilt reliever for me that I give you guys, you know, 8 or 9 minutes every day. But I think it makes a difference, and you know, and I'm just glad that we were able to do this. And I look forward to this every day. It's something that's worked out, I think, well for everybody.
Oh, yeah, and we absolutely look forward to it, too. And I don't want you to sell yourself short, Tony, because you and your listeners have made so many things that Occupy Detroit has done, so many things possible, whether it be supplies in camp, you know, the karaoke machine for our Thanksgiving dinner. You know, the support from you and your listeners has been absolutely essential to our success.
Well, thank you so much. Let's take some time, Shannon, and talk about yesterday, but not in just what happened, but how important yesterday was for the Occupy Detroit movement.
Yes, we're absolutely ecstatic at the turnout yesterday. There's been some kind of wildly divergent figures reported in the media about how many people were present to march on the governor's mansion yesterday with Occupy for Democracy. By our count, it was about 1,500. The press, the free press and the news are reporting about 1,000. And some of the TV broadcasts were reporting just a couple hundred. But a show of force of that big of a crowd and just amazingly diverse. You know, you had a bunch of churches bringing bands, congregations from Detroit, from Flint. You had civil rights leaders, Democratic groups, the Young Dems were out in force, and then, of course, Occupies from all across the state. I think that was exactly the kind of sign that we needed to show Governor Snyder that this isn't just, you know, an African-American issue. This isn't just a Detroit issue anymore. Everyone is paying attention, and everyone is starting to realize, you know, what an egregious violation of civil rights that the emergency manager law is.
Well, you know, it was interesting. Yesterday we had Reverend David Bullock on, which was just an amazing experience. He's so motivational. And as we also spent the entire morning playing audio clips from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, Shannon, it just reminds you and really reinforces in all of us that have that activist spirit, that activist soul, why we do what we do. It's just so moving to be around that atmosphere. And you know, for those that don't participate, and I'm going to suggest it's those critics, most of them come from the more conservative side of the aisle, they have no clue what they're missing out on, Shannon. They really don't.
No, I mean, it was just a phenomenal, like, the environment was just was just phenomenal. There were, at a certain point, enough people where I wasn't sure that we were going to be able to even get anything done because we had such a huge crowd. We filled the entire park. So, you know, myself and some of the other organizers, including Reverend Bullock and Reverend Williams, I think had a moment like, you know, we don't know if we're going to be able to get this organized, but everyone came together and absolutely in the spirit of Dr. King. Everyone came together and, created what I thought was a really, really great environment and a really, really great event.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, Shannon, because as we, you know, the Gongwer is a news service out of Lansing that, that, you know, reports on, all kinds of political stuff. And I thought that their spin on it was really quite, profoundly good. Because it leads with the word peaceful. It says the protest of EM law near Snyder's home loud, comma peaceful. Peaceful is the key word there, of course. And again, you know, this of course, and I'm going to give some credit, by the way, to the governor's staff who worked with the protesters. They understood this was going to happen. They had no desire to get in your way, and I think that's why it works as well as it does.
Yeah, we had. Great. We worked together really, really well with Washtenaw County Police, and the state police and the sheriff were all really, really great to us. We're all really, really cooperative and stayed really cooperative throughout the entire event. You know, really were just in the interest of making sure that everyone was safe. And even when things last night, we had, you know, a couple protesters who got a little bit rowdy. It by no means got anything less than peaceful at any point. But even then, you know, the police and the state troopers stayed, you know, absolutely professional and really just cooperative, trying to keep everybody safe.
I'm just so glad that everything worked out, and not that I expected it. And you know, this kind of goes back, Shannon, when you and I first began visiting with each other. When you were at camp, and the Detroit police, how they right away were on your side. We had all this tension going on all over the country. I remember the San Antonio event. I remember the Oregon event, certainly Oakland, California. And here we were in Detroit, you know, working with the police to make sure that the Occupy movement was not just respectful, but was given the opportunity to grow and to be what it needed to be organically. And without the police help, that could have never happened.
Right. I absolutely agree. The Detroit police were great to us in camp. I think that it's a testament to that police department. I think it's a testament to the history of activism and civil rights movements in this city that the police would react the way that they did. But I also think that it's a testament to Occupy Detroit and our movement in that we were, in camp especially, very self-policing. There were no major incidents, and you didn't have things like drugs or drinking or anything like that in the park. So I think that we had kind of the stage set for a very symbiotic relationship, and I'm very, very glad it worked out that way.
Absolutely. Shannon, thank you so much for your time today. We'll look forward to visiting with you the next time we get to visit with you. Blessings to you, my dear, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Absolutely. Shannon McEvely with Occupy Detroit. When we continue, Cindy Estrada, Vice President of the UAW, joins us. I'm very much looking forward, and I'm quite proud of her this morning. The Detroit Free Press did a great profile of her in Sunday's paper. If you haven't seen it yet, just go to the Facebook page and find it. In the meantime, we'll take the break. Russ coming up, CNN with headline news. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning and some good news. Those accidents we had out in the Roseville area, those have cleared on 94 westbound. We still have that accident 94 westbound at Ecorse Road. An overturned vehicle there blocking the left shoulder. We've got some water on the road 94 westbound at the lodge and some debris in the roadway blocking the right two lanes on 75 southbound before Joslyn Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, a dense fog advisory is in place until 11 a.m. this morning. Rain is moving into the area as well. The high temperature is what it is right now. It will drop throughout the day, leading to some snow showers tonight. a low around 20. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high in the mid-20s. Right now it's foggy and 44 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, the captain of the Italian cruise ship that ran aground last week is being questioned by a judge today. Journalist Barbie Nadeau is following the court proceedings.
Basically today, we're not going to get much more than whether or not he has to stay in jail. He's been in custody since Saturday, and his lawyer right now is trying to get him out of jail for the investigative period. He can be held for 1 year without being charged by Italian law.
Six people are known dead in the maritime disaster. At least 28 are missing. Congress is returning to session today, but much of the discussion will revolve around an old dispute. CNN's Kate Baldwin says both parties are still hung up over a payroll tax break.
Here we go again. They're going to be starting this new session with a little bit of last year's business, payroll tax cut, extending it, whether or not to extend it and for how long. That is, of course, top of the to-do list.
A new CNN ORC International poll shows just 11% of Americans think Congress is doing a good job. That's a new low for the CNN survey. Republican presidential candidates Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, and Ron Paul addressed a Tea Party convention in South Carolina yesterday. Tea Party Patriots co-founder Jenny Beth Martin says all the candidates remaining in the race have something to offer conservatives.
Even Governor Romney, who implemented Romney Care in Massachusetts, has said he would repeal the government-controlled health care at a national level. So they're all talking about the issues we've been talking about.
Wisconsin Democrats plan to turn in signatures today for a recall effort against Republican Governor Scott Walker. It's a process that could cost the state millions of dollars to check all of those signatures. But Democratic Party Chairman Mike Tate says it's worth it.
I really think that it's too important not to do this, and that however much this ends up costing the state, it'd be the best down payment on the future of the state for our children and our families that we could possibly spend.
Governor Walker upset labor unions and public school teachers after he stripped public employees of their collective bargaining rights. This is CNN Radio.
So here you are, stuck in rush hour traffic, thinking about your back pain. You know, if you'd used a Thermacare heat wrap this morning, it would still be working. That's because Thermacare is the only wrap with patented heat cells that penetrate deep to relax, soothe, and unlock tight muscles for up to 16 hours of relief. That's 8 hours while you wear it, and 8 more even after it's off. Can your patch say that? And you? You'd be sitting pretty all the way home. For up to 16 hours of back pain relief, try Thermacare. Use as directed.
Job creator or corporate raider? A new video about Mitt Romney asks that question. He says he created 100,000 jobs at Bain. Did he? Some say the video is anti-capitalist. It's about Romney's record. There's good capitalism and bad. It doesn't take a student of Adam Smith to know that. One thing we do know, President Obama will ask the hard questions. Watch when Mitt came to town. You decide. Paid for by Winning Our Future. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
As teams at the site of the Costa Concordia disaster off the Italian coast deal with the human and potentially environmental toll of the sinking cruise ship, Costa's parent company Carnival also is warning about the financial toll. It estimates losses this year reaching or surpassing $95 million, plus payouts from legal settlements, which could be tens of millions more. Carnival stock lost 16% in European trades yesterday. Europe's large and growing financial mess has been showing up increasingly in U.S. corporate earnings. So far this reporting season, profit and sales weakness from companies including Alcoa and Tiffany have been blamed on soft demand from governments, corporations, and consumers in Europe. This week we've received several earnings reports from banking and financial companies including Citi, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, which could further reflect European weakness. U.S. stock futures looking good, though. S&P futures right now up almost 1%, 12 points. NASDAQ futures up 25. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax.
But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 Office Max gift card you get just for buying $49 or more of HP Ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offering Saturday, limit 2.
It's after work. You look at your iPhone and discover an urgent request. You could drive back to the office to log onto your computer, but who wants to do that? With the new Go to My PC app for the iPhone, you could take care of that last-minute request from anywhere. Use the Go to My PC app by Citrix to access your work computer to work on any program or file. It's like having your computer in your pocket. Try it free for 45 days. Download the free app, then visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, enter promo code 45.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome indeed, Tony Trupiano with you on this Tuesday morning. It is the 17th day of January, 2012, and pleasure to be with you all this morning. We've got a great hour of radio planned for you. I do have some open line time a little bit later on. I do have some hate mail coming in, so I want to address that a little bit later on in the hour as well. Good to know that you folks are waking up, so we're going to take care of all of that, I assure you, before we get out of here today. But before we do any of that, I want to remind you, when I have a guest, just be topical to the guest, and you're welcome to join us. That number is 888-552-3595. If you'd like to send an email, always welcome to do that as well, of course, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, you can get us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. So that's that. Let's go ahead and get started. Joining me now, as she does on a monthly basis, is Cindy Estrada, the UAW Vice President. And Cindy, as always, a
and
pleasure.
And now from the United Auto Workers Union,
our leading voice for labor.
It's really sad. What you see is a bunch of...
All right. Well, we got a little screwed. Can we start that over, guys? Can we go ahead and play that open for her, please? Go ahead and hit that for me, guys.
And now from the United Auto Workers Union,
our leading voice for labor.
It's really sad. What you see is a bunch of legislators looking at how you solve problems without involving workers. And it's really easy to sit on their high perches. It's really easy to have this ideology and say that these decisions make sense that they're doing. But really the smarter way to go is to sit down and talk to workers and let labor and management work together to solve some problems.
Ms. Cindy Estrada.
And Cindy joins us now, that voice of labor we love so much. And Cindy, it's a pleasure to have you back. Happy New Year to you, Cindy. It's great. It's just great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Tony. Happy New Year to all of you.
Hey, listen, I gotta start off the only way I can start off. There's a great profile in the Detroit Free Press about you on Sunday, but I gotta tell you a quick little story. My wife is, I'm in my office doing some reading and getting ready for Monday's show. It's what I do on Sunday, and drinking a cup of coffee, and she comes running in my office. She's got to show you something, and she hands me the paper. There's this picture of you, and she's very excited. She goes, I know this woman. I grew up with her. I said, huh, how do you know her? She goes, well, her family lived in the neighborhood and right by my grandma's house, and her dad owned a bar, and she's just the most amazing person, and she's going on and on. She's so excited. She's not taking a breath, so I can't even tell her I know you.
That's nice.
And it was just so, nice. She said she had the best smile, and everybody knew that she was going to grow up to be somebody. Everybody looked up to her. And so this is coming from, and my wife is just very proud of you, Cindy. So I just want to share that with you.
Well,
Well, and I just found out her name yesterday, and I do remember her, and we hung out a lot together, and you have an incredible wife as well.
I do have an incredible wife. That's absolutely true.
But my question was, how come she isn't she listening to your show?
She's at work. She's at work. She starts work before you come on the show, so that's why she's listening on her commute, which is 7:30 to just before 8 o'clock, so she misses you. I think she is listening now, though. I'm pretty sure because she asked me when because I told her I was going to have you on today. She asked me what time you're going to be on. But you know, Cindy, that actually is a nice segue into really what I wanted. I mean, there's some issues that I want to get to today that come from this piece that was in the Free Press on Sunday. We got an interesting response on our Facebook page. People liking it. I got some interesting email after I posted it on Sunday. You know, people talking about your courageous leadership. And there's some of that in this article. And I guess I'm going to just ask you this question. As you get up every day, as you do what you do, do you see yourself as a courageous leader?
No, I really don't look at myself that way. I mean, more as an organizer, right? That we need to really expose what's happening in the country. And how can we organize workers to start saying enough is enough and fight back so that we can be able to raise our families in a fair system again?
Well, you know,
I don't think it's happening today.
No, it is not. It is certainly not happening today. And in fact, one of the in this article, one of the things that they write, it said it's hard to pigeonhole. She sounds one moment like the voice of quote unquote new labor, who negotiated a deal under which state workers made concessions but got a greater voice in finding spending solutions. In the next breath, she trashes CEOs. She says, take home fat paychecks who won't pay a living wage. That is the city of Strata that I know and love. And I think that if that is the voice of new labor, thank you for arriving when you have, because we need you. I mean, we certainly need this right now.
You know what strikes me, this whole new labor, when I look, and you know, and I haven't been around as long as some people, you know, I've been organizing since, you know, 1995, and what I've seen in the UAW and what I've seen particularly in auto is workers have always wanted a seat at the table when it came to efficiencies, when it came to making this a better product, when they saw waste going out of the plant, because they knew it affected their job, they knew it affected whether or not the company was going to be viable. The problem is no one would ever listen to them. So this whole new labor piece where, you know, workers now care about the viability of the company, it really drives me crazy, because I think workers have always cared about that because they knew their jobs were tied to it. I think that during the recession, things started to get so bad where management finally said, hey, we're going to listen to, you know, what workers have to say besides dealing with them on their wages and benefits. And so I don't see it so much as new labor, except that we're pushing that, you know, we're being heard more because companies were forced to come to the table to say, hey, we haven't been able to figure it out on our own, you know, can you help us? Which I think is new management rather than new labor.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, Cindy, because as we talk about the relationship between labor and management, I sometimes, you know, and if I'm wrong, you'll correct me, but I sometimes think where management gets it wrong is they don't understand that they actually have more to gain by strengthening their union relationship than they could ever lose by strengthening that relationship.
You know, and you're exactly right, and that's what, you know, we're fighting for every day. It's like, look, invite workers to the table who do the work every day on the shop floor or in their, you know, facility. And, you know, when they do it every day, you have lots of ideas. Sure, some of our ideas aren't, you know, like anyone, don't work. And we don't find out until we try them. But I can tell you what, if you involve workers, you're going to have a more productive, you're going to have a more efficient, you're going to have a better workforce. That means that the company in turn is going to, you know, have better returns. The problem today is that, you know, everyone wants to do that now. But what they don't want to do is pay workers a decent wage or, you know, what I would say a living wage, which means you can raise your family, you can have a, you know, a decent life. You know, we have a problem in this country where CEOs are taking all the money and they don't want to share it with the workers who make them successful.
Well, that is very true. You know, interestingly, one of the words in this article that they use with regard to efficiency and your attitude about efficiencies is the word militant. That evokes an image. For me, it evokes an image, a good image, fortunately, especially when it comes to the struggle that, labor has with management. And this idea that we have to fight with management to make them more efficient seems to be, as you suggest in this story, ludicrous. But it is true. You have to fight to get management to do what they should want to do on their own.
You know, and that happens. I see that every day, Tony, having to, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we get it right at the higher levels of management. They, you know, you sit down, there's an agreement that, okay, let's go in and let's work together. But then you have, I really think it's sort of this power struggle that you have and management, you know, being afraid of involvement. You know, and I'm proud to say there's a lot of companies where we've been able to move beyond that because, you know, workers and management have come together at the table, but it's still a struggle every day. But the bigger struggle is, even once we get to that point, is making sure that workers are compensated fairly. I mean, I can tell you supplier after supplier. Before on your show, we talked about, you know, TRW, where the CEO is making $22 million and still wants to get $11 an hour from workers. I mean, and it's not just TRW. We have Johnson Controls. Their CEO in 2010 made $17 million, 519 times the average worker's pay. And we got to fight with them for an entry-level rate of $14. That is insane.
Well, you know, and I'm often, and I remember how passionate and absolutely upset you were at American Axle over what they did after everything you did for that company.
You know, that, you know, and I would like to say that, you know, American Axle is the only one out there doing that, but I can tell you it's almost, it's most suppliers that, again, there's this unequal balance between what top executives are making and what workers, and I'm not saying they shouldn't make a whole bunch more. They should, or they can, but when we're at a point where workers are making $14 an hour, that just puts them over the threshold of being able to apply for food stamps. I think that's like $13.97. Then we have a problem in this country. And the other problem, you know, I wish I would have talked it more in the article, is we talked about the Veterans Home, I think, before on your show. This was a group that was, the workers, it was privatized. They're paying workers $10 an hour, no benefits. What's not being talked about is the state saying they're saving money. We're subsidizing those wages because most of those workers are eligible for food stamps because they can't make it. They can't make it.
Yeah,
our tax dollars pay for that.
We need to take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk further. I wanted to go there next day. Let's talk a little bit further about that because that gets into an important piece, which is outsourcing, which, by the way, you have demonstrated actually can cost much more money than actually hiring people at a good living wage and letting them do their jobs. This is a great example. This Veterans Home is a great example of how that works. Cindy Estrada is my guest. She is vice president, one of the vice presidents at the United Auto Workers. It's a pleasure to have her on as we do on a monthly basis. A very quick break here. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
A couple of accidents out there on the freeways this morning because of the rain and fog. 75 southbound after 12 mile. There's an accident there in the left shoulder. It's causing delays back to 14 mile. Also, 96 to Jeffries eastbound on that ramp to I-94. The left lane is blocked because of an accident. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Well, the forecast for the National Weather Service should be no surprise to anyone who stepped outside today, but rain and fog, a dense fog advisory until 11 a.m. this morning. The temperature will drop steadily throughout the day, leading to some snow showers this evening, a low around 20 degrees tonight, and some gusty winds out of the northwest. Tomorrow, partly sunny, but a lot colder, a high in the mid-20s. Right now, it's raining and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
In business, every day is a compromise between what you want and what your budget will allow. Face it, compromise stinks. But with Staples and HP, you don't have to compromise your printing with no-name cartridges. Switch to original HP and get up to $30 in Staples rewards. Just recycle up to 3 HP generic cartridges and buy HP ink or toner on the same day. That's $10 in rewards for each cartridge recycled. Switch to HP. The number one brand in printing is the number one value. Staples. That was easy. One time only. Offer ends 2/25/12.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310 WDT.
Introducing the newest member of the Prius family from Toyota. Prius V has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you have access to apps like iHeartRadio, so you can listen to your favorite local stations anywhere. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V, available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Apps and services may vary by phone and carrier. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up? Diggity dog.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, Tony Trupiano with you. A little technical difficulty, but we're back online. Cindy Estrada is on the other end of my line today. The Detroit Free Press did a wonderful profile on her in Sunday's paper. Those of you that went online both Sunday and yesterday after I posted it with your comments and shout-outs was very nice. I also, Cindy got some emails. Again, people talking about the courage and how authentic and how real you are. But before we get to that, I want to go back to this this idea that outsourcing is the answer, because I think that the key to understanding how you lead is in that story on this veterans hospital. I mean, you clearly were able to demonstrate that not going in that direction actually was not just the best thing to do for the patients, it was the best thing to do for management.
You know, and we're seeing that in a number of cases, and, you know, the sad thing is what's happening is it's an ideological fight. I mean, the Republicans like to make it look like privatization or outsourcing this work is a good thing. When you look at the real numbers, we're losing money, we're not saving the state money, and the taxpayers on the other end are really paying the real price because the wages are coming in so low that many people can't support their families on the job that has just been outsourced. And the Veterans Hospital was a perfect example of that. These were good-paying jobs that were outsourced at $10 an hour. And when you go talk to those workers, most of them, you know, are eligible for food stamps, and a lot of them are using food stamps to make ends meet.
Well, it is.
And you know what's really funny, Tony? I don't know if you watched the Republican debate yesterday. I have a hard time watching it, but this whole Gingrich piece on food stamps and calling Obama the food stamp president.
Oh, yeah.
You know, besides the race issue, which is there, the fact that Gingrich and all these Republicans are saying that we have food stamps because no one's creating jobs, I would love for someone to talk about the number of people on food stamps who are working a full-time job. Because, again, corporations aren't paying enough for workers to raise a family, to provide for their family, and those food stamps are being subsidized by us. So the average CEO makes $11 million in compensation last year in 2010. There's a problem in our country when there's that much of an imbalance. So that's the discussion I hope the Democrats have and that we need to start having, is why are people eligible for food stamps and a full-time job?
Well, you know, interestingly, I was out at Region 1 on Thursday afternoon. There was a CAP conference, and Mary Beth Cahill was there. There was really a lot of great people. The audience was amazing. And this came up, this topic came up, and when I mentioned this, because people are saying, how do we get our union brothers and sisters more engaged in the process? And I said, well, the first thing you've got to remind them is that they have to stop voting Republican. The second thing you need to remind them is that there are now union brothers and sisters that are relying on food stamps to get by on a weekly basis. When I said that, the crowd erupted because they understood that this was real. I mean, it got a huge response, much larger, Cindy, than I would have ever thought.
No, I think people are, you know, because everyone's facing it and starting to see it, especially, you know, we don't see that in our assembly plans because they're, you know, decent wages, good middle-class job, but that's not true in the rest of the world. And I just cannot say it enough. And these companies come in and get a break when they walk in the door. They get tax abatements and then they're not paying their workers enough to walk out the door and provide for their family.
Well, you know, listen, this article does lots of nice things. It calls you a spitfire and calls you courageous and does a lot of things. And I don't know if that matters. What do you want, Cindy Estrada? Do you want to be known as the Latina UAW vice president? Does that matter, or are you just looking to be a leader?
You know, I want to make sure that I do the best job for the membership, and I think that the way that I do that is I listen to the membership, the way that I help them get a seat at the table, and you know, it does matter to me that I'm seen as a Latina as well. I don't just represent Latinos, but I think it's important for all the young Latino women and men to know that, you know, we can do what we want to do. It's not always easy, but it's possible, right? Same thing when, you know, the first African American got elected. But I want to be known as someone who's going to change the discussion and start to win back some real power for workers. And a wage that's going to allow them to do what, you know, my grandma was able to do when she worked at GM, which is to retire with some dignity, which is to be able to provide for her kids, you know, and live a decent life. And we don't have that opportunity today in this country. Many of us don't. So that's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for regaining a decent way of life in this country.
Well, what's interesting about that takes us back to where we started, which is this new labor idea, because what you're talking about is very much old labor idea.
Yeah, isn't that I don't know when that ever happened. I think I think maybe we got too comfortable because we did have more density and organized labor. But you know, whether it's old or new, the fact that I have to beg people to write about this issue on food stamps, for example, to say somebody write about the fact that we have full-time jobs and people are eligible for food stamps because they're not paying enough to live while the CEO is making 11, 12, 20 million, you know, a year. So to me, it's just whether old, new labor, old labor, this is just the right thing to do. Create jobs where people can raise their family.
Well, it seems to me that as I take a look at who I feel Cindy Estrada is, that you are just who you are. You're authentically who you are. You're not trying to be something. You don't seem, at least, again, from my perspective, and listen, I don't know you that well. It's not like you and I are pals and we're hanging out. But from what I see, you're not trying to be something. You just organically are who you are. And you've embraced that, and you see that you have a responsibility and obligation. But more importantly, you have talents, and you're not afraid to use those talents to advance labor as we need labor to be advanced. And I think you find yourself perfectly in a team of people, your other vice president, certainly President King, at the right time. I mean, what an amazing opportunity this is for you, both personally and professionally, Cindy.
You know, I think it's a great opportunity now, too, because I do work with, you know, a president like Bob King and Joe Ashton, you know, Dennis Williams, who's our secretary treasurer. And we got a lot of people on the board who are really focused on organizing. And so it makes me my job easier because we're really working as a team.
And you have the best assistant in the whole UAW. Dave's just awesome.
Yeah, I was lucky. I took the assistant with the tons of experience. I learned from him every day, and he's very supportive. And I have a team like that. I mean, I have people who really have passion, who really believe in, you know, making it better for working people and working families. So, it, you know, I'm the face, but they do all the work.
Well, I'm just, again, for what it's worth, I'm very proud of you. I can just tell you again, my wife is very proud of you. And again, she was just so thrilled that you and I had this connection already. Cindy, I look forward to visiting with you again next month. I think that there's so much more that we are going to be able to do together. I'm happy that we've got you on a monthly basis. Congratulations on this wonderful article, and I'll look forward to visiting with you next month.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
Absolutely. Cindy Estrada, Vice President of the United Auto Workers. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and go open lines, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some problems out there on the freeway. 75 southbound after 12 mile, an accident there on the left shoulder. It's got traffic backed up to 14 miles. 75 southbound before Joslyn. We have some debris reported in the right two lanes there. That's causing delays. Water over the roadway, 94 westbound at the lodge. It is passable, but still, it's causing some backups. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service, today rain and fog. The temperature will drop throughout the day, leading to some snow showers this evening, a low around 20, some gusty winds out of the northwest as well. Then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high only in the mid-20s. Right now it's raining, foggy, and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's go to Rachel Maddow. She does an amazing job of reporting the truth.
My personal nomination for the single most radical thing implemented by any Republican legislature and governor is what happened in Michigan. It's Michigan's expanded emergency financial manager law. It allows Rick Snyder, the state's Republican governor, to essentially, effectively, abolish all local voting rights. Congratulations, Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trivio
on 1310 WDTW.
Oh, to be in Afghanistan again when the poppies are in bloom. For a sign of how America's decade-long war is going in this faraway land, look at the beautiful fields of red poppies flowering so bountifully there. Unfortunately, that bounty symbolizes a failure of an ambitious Western initiative against the Taliban forces. Poppies are the raw material for producing opium. And just one Afghan province produces some 40% of the world's opium poppies. That illicit flower power fuels the Taliban with the money to buy weapons, train fighters, bribe Afghan officials, and otherwise make war. So, the West's strategy has included an all-out effort to eradicate poppy production, both by banning the crop and by helping Afghanistan's impoverished sharecroppers switch to such alternatives as wheat and cotton. Good theory, if it works. It hasn't. Many poppy growers didn't like having their sure cash crop taken away from them, so they moved to a desert region that's under Taliban control and turns out to be remarkably productive poppy land. Meanwhile, those raising wheat and cotton are producing good crops, but the Western development specialists forgot to focus on the key factor in convincing people to switch. Profit. Afghan cotton is not competitive with cheaper cotton from Pakistan, plus The lone cotton mill in the region often isn't working and is notoriously slow in paying farmers. Bottom line is that more farmers are going into the desert because, as one put it, there aren't any other crops where we can make enough money to fill our children's stomachs. Overall poppy production in Afghanistan was up by 7% last year and is expected to increase more this year. This is Jim Hightower saying, trying to win the hearts and minds of the Afghan people is one thing, but first, take care of the children's stomachs. All those blooming poppies are yet another sign that we don't know what we're doing in Afghanistan.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, January 17th, 2012. A pleasure to be with you. Before I get to the phones, and I've got some emails I want to get to as well. We're open lines, by the way, 888-552-3595. Just a quick comment on Cindy Estrada. You know, folks, I've had a very interesting and varied career. I've been a motivational speaker. I've traveled the country. I've authored books. I've done radio. I've been on television lots and lots of times. You very rarely get to meet somebody like Cindy Estrada. She's so authentic and so real and so comfortable in her own skin. She is not forcing herself to be something she's not. She is authentically who she is. She is a courageous leader, whether she's Latino, whether she's white, whether she be black. It really doesn't matter. Cindy Estrada is comfortable being the leader that she is. She understands and is grateful for the opportunities that she has, and she understands as well that she has a short period of time. Even if she were to do this job for another 40 years, it's a short period of time to affect change. She is not going to sit back and wait for change to come to her. I promise you that. I'm so grateful that we have this cooperation with her and the UAW, and that we get her on a monthly basis. I hope you enjoyed that interview nearly as much as I did. I'm going to ask Jeff to put the podcast up on the Facebook page as soon as he can, hopefully to get more people to listen to what Cindy had to say today, because it was just, to me, it was a great interview. These are the kind of stories that we need to be telling. 888-552-3595. Let us go to Tony in Dearborn. Tony, welcome to First Shift. Happy New Year to you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
First, I'd like to say that intro to the Occupy Detroit section was really great. It was a really good piece.
Jeff did I'll let Jeff know. Actually, Jeff's hearing you, so thank you, Tony.
Yeah, definitely pass it on. Tomorrow night, though, I want to let you and your listeners know that Rick Snyder will be giving his State of the State address in Lansing, and there's plans for another demonstration, a large turnout statewide, to give the people State of the State address outside to make noise to let people know that in this state, people come first.
Absolutely. That's great to hear. That's great to hear. Yeah, we're going to be previewing the State of the State on tomorrow's show, and of course we'll be doing a wrap-up on Thursday morning. It should be interesting, Tony, to hear what the governor has to say, because for a lot of us, he's not done anything yet.
Yeah, and the things he has done haven't been good.
Thank you very much. Tony, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it, and Jeff heard the compliment. Glad that you enjoyed that. He did a great job. 888-552-3595. One of my favorites is now on the phone, Theo in Detroit. Because you're so nice to me, Theo, and I appreciate it. Welcome back to First Shift.
Well, thank you. Happy Tuesday to you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I was calling because I want to talk about just-in-case insurance. You know, we purchase insurance for our vehicles just in case we have accidents, etc. Well, the taxpayers in the city of Detroit pay for just-in-case insurance, just in case you need EMS, fire department, police department, DPW. We have a problem of $159 million, according to an interview with the mayor, Dave Bing, which is on the front of the Detroit News, December the 4th, last month, 2011. Where he indicates that we miss $159 million annually from uncollected income tax from people who live outside the city, come here to work, and don't pay city income tax. Now, the part of the problem is with the city as well as with the non-residents who are employed by the city of Detroit and in other corporations. We have an opportunity through technology to correct this. It's not been done. I understand that the mayor's administration has been talking with the governor and his administration about collecting it. The problem with that is Adrian, Michigan's administration, tried that with the state, and the state turned around and did a double dipping on that city. And private.
Well, wait, what do you mean by double dipping, Theo?
Well, they charge fees to collect for Adrian, Michigan,
right,
their income tax. They asked the state to do it. The state agreed. They charge a fee. Then they turned around and increased the fee without the agreement of Adrian, Michigan, and farmed it out to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank.
Oh, lovely.
And, that's, you know, the kind of things that go on, boy, they're getting deeper and deeper.
You know, and this, Theo, this goes back to the conversation and really actually fits into the conversation we were having with Cindy Estrada about outsourcing.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And this is a case where, and, you know, and this is not just a Republican idea. This is not just a Republican idea. The Democrats, the Governor Granholm's administration, was doing this stuff as well. They're not off the hook on this, Theo.
Right. That's correct.
All right. So I'm not going to paint this as just a Republican problem, because it's not. Not that the Republicans haven't jumped in both feet. That's, I mean, that's obvious.
As a matter of fact, we can't just blame it on Dave Bing. This goes all the way back to Dennis Archer.
Absolutely. No. This is a, you and I talked about this on the show last week, Theo.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's, you know, $150, $160 million being left on the table. You know, it was funny because when you called me last week about this, I remember getting a tax bill from the city of Detroit. Got it in the mail. My wife used to work in Detroit, and it was for $10.29.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually said to myself, do they really need that $10.29? I paid it because, of course, it's the right thing to do, and that's why I paid it. And I thought, you know, shame on me if I don't pay it for $10.29.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was I even thinking that do they need? Of course they need that $10. And that's exactly how much it was. I remember it that clearly,
$10.29. And then when you multiply that times the hundreds of people who are not, which actually equates to tax evasion. But, you know, I wanted to make the point about just-in-case insurance, because if someone from Auburn Hills works here, decides to stay over and go to a hockey game and passes out, Auburn Hills EMS is not going to come to service him. Detroit EMS.
You're so right.
Pay for that.
You're so right. It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to not pay your city of Detroit taxes. And I don't think people respect the city, and I don't think that's why they think that's why they don't pay them.
Right. So with the new technology, we're going to have to press the council and the mayor to take care of this. We do not need the state collecting our income tax.
No, especially. And thank you for the call, as always, Theo. I appreciate it, especially if, of course, they're going to. And again, I wouldn't expect them to put a fee to collect it, because it's going to, you know, there's going to be man hours involved. But, you know, God only knows what that's going to cost. And why would you want to pay that money? You know, it can be done electronically. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But listen to what Theo's saying. $160 million a year is being left on the table. Now, how many years is that for? Or is that 1 year? Is that how many years? It's just, you know, do the math, and it's a lot of money. Lots of money. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Before we get to the break, I want to address Donald. You keep emailing me about the emergency manager law, and you keep on emailing me that this all happened under, you know, Governor Granholm and Governor Blanchard and Governor Engler. And then why am I getting all pissy about this? Because it's been around in other governors. It's not, I have no problem with the emergency manager law in its former existence. I have a problem with it in its current existence. What do you not get about that, Donald? What in my God's name do you not get about that? Do you not, or do you only listen to what you want to listen to on this show? How many times have we demonstrated why Public Act 4 is wrong for Michigan? The law that under which Granholm and Engler and Blanchard used was far less invasive. Far less invasive. Far less invasive, Donald, than Public Act 4. What is it that you don't get about that? Why do you keep emailing me that I don't get it when it's you that doesn't get it? An emergency manager under the old law came and held hands and got people through their financial difficulties. If needed, yeah, there was interventions and stuff happened and it was good and we moved on. Was it strong enough? Was it weak, too weak? You know what? We can debate that all day long, but we're not comparing Donald apples to apples. That's the bottom line here. Public Act 4 is wrong if you are a voter. If you live in a municipality that has been taken over by an emergency manager under Public Act 4, you now belong to a community that has taxation without representation. You now become part of a dictatorship. And it's wrong. What do you not get about that? Why do you continue to write me about this? And then you write that I don't get it. You're the one that doesn't get it. Public Act 4 is wrong for Michigan. It'd be wrong in any other state. I don't expect you to agree with what Rachel Maddow had to say. We played that audio earlier in the day today. I'm assuming that you heard it because this is when you sent me the email originally. Dude, take a deep breath or maybe inhale and hold it, whatever you need to do to get over this idea that you understand Public Act 4. You don't. You just don't. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org, at Tony Truppiano on Twitter. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got some more email to get to. We're hopefully going to have some more calls to get to, and they're going to wrap things up. We might even have time for Tales of Interest today. God knows I got enough stuff in front of me. It's all about you. I am Tony Truppiano. Let's take the break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see it right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning it to CDs and I'm mailing it out to some friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trippiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today.
Tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call, 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
And welcome back 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Stephanie Miller on the other side of this show. A lot to do yet, so we're going to get to it. Let's go to the phones and welcome Ray in Pontiac. Ray, good morning to you. Welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Tony. I find it kind of amusing that you continue to get this email from a gentleman who is concerned about why you're concerned about this bill. If he did any research, he would see that when those bills were implemented, they weren't as evasive for the city governments the way this one is. Snyder and his people in Lansing made sure they took the word financial off, just made it emergency manager, which meant didn't make any difference if you're a sovereign entity. Only thing they want to do is come in and sell your city off, and this is what they're doing here in Pontiac, okay? I said it at last week's City Hall Council meeting that we will be the example of what outsourcing of a city is all about. Because they've outsourced all of our assets, okay? We're a city here in Pontiac that was once vibrant, the county seat of Oakland, and now they sold the Silver Dome for peanuts, okay? Now they're trying to get rid of our water treatment plant. They're selling the city off parcel by parcel. In fact, the Schimmel, who is the emergency manager, is very arrogant, has no concern for the city, as he has three pages of parcels of the city that he wants to sell to the highest bidder.
Yeah, and in fact, he bragged about that, Ray, a couple weeks ago in the paper. In fact,
absolutely,
they had a press conference. The only one that showed up was the mayor, who I'm beginning to believe is a piece of garbage.
He is.
And whatever his name is, Jaworski, what's his
Jaworski.
Name?
Jaworski, yeah. Right. And it's true. Anytime a person, he is this man's counsel. This is double dipping. How can you, it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, no question, Ray. And what's happening in Pontiac, and I have a lot of love for Pontiac. If you've not, I used to own a restaurant there. I used to lived in Pontiac for a long time, actually. I have a lot of love for the city of Pontiac. I have a lot of great memories in the city of Pontiac. When I first got married, we lived in the city of Pontiac.
Right.
You know, Ray, what's happening there is just it's wrong at every level. And you're right. This man that continues to send me these emails, if he just
doesn't want to know.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to know.
He doesn't.
If he researched it, he would see that what you're saying, what Rachel Maddow is saying, is a fact. Anytime we're paying this man Schimmel $12,500 monthly to destroy the city. He brings in his folk. Everything is outsourced. Our water is outsourced. They outsourced our golf course. Everything that we work for in this city for any amount of time as we as taxpayers has been sold to the highest bidder.
Absolutely right.
And all I can say to the gentleman who keeps emailing you, he either is illiterate, ignorant, or he doesn't want to know. And it's better for him to debate and to argue. But facts are facts. Now, I don't know where he lives. I don't care to know. But if he lived here in Pontiac or any other city that's under this attack of fascism, he's changed his tune.
I believe he lives in Oak Park, Ray, to be honest. I want to thank you for your call. I appreciate your passion, Ray. It's obvious you and I agree on this issue. It's just damned wrong. I want to make sure I mention quickly here that the city of Troy has a special city council meeting this evening to address the transit center. The meeting is going to be held tonight at 7:30 at City Hall at the City Council Chambers. It will be televised. Because it is a special meeting, public comments, unless the rules of order are suspended, will be after the vote on the transit center. Any comment must pertain to the transit center. This means that it shouldn't be a lengthy meeting. If you want emails to any of them, send me, I'll forward this email to you folks that I received. If you would like to email any of the members, including the mayor, Janice Daniels, feel free to send me an email and I'll send you a list of all this. And there's an explanation about what's going to go happen tonight. And the group that that sent me this is called Trust for Troy. But it is tonight, so this is some kind of watered down version of the transit center. It would save about $2 million, I think, what I heard. By the way, Mayor Janice Daniels, when she found out that the city council met, she was in Japan during the holidays. Her son, may God bless him, is a member of the U.S. military. He's in Japan. She went to Japan to visit him as he's about to deploy to Afghanistan. And again, our prayers are with her and her family as far as that is concerned. Was absolutely outraged, according to the article in this morning's Free Press, when she found out that the city council actually met without her being there. God forbid. They're allowed to meet, Your Honor. They are allowed to meet. You're not the dictator. You're the mayor. Get it? Got it? Good. Oh, I really feel for the people of Troy. I honestly do. All right, we're not going to have time for tales of interest, but let me do this because we had talked about SOPA and PIPA, which were the online internet laws, bills that were being bandied about as a solution for some of those laws that would create the solution to some in the wild world of piracy and invasion, such forth. It has been decided by the powers that be, and that would be the House Oversight Committee, that they are going to delay. They are going to delay the bill indefinitely until there's more of a consensus of how this will move forward. I don't know. Did you hear about that, Jeff? I think you're the one that sent it to me.
Yes, then.
Yeah. Yes, then. Sure, Tony. Sure, I did that. By the way, did you hear the guy praising you earlier about the Occupy Detroit Open?
No. Tell me all about it. Yeah, I did.
Okay. You're bad. You're just bad. Anyway, so SOPA and PIPA for right now. Why doesn't First Shift just take credit for that? After we talked about it, they decided, you know what? There's just too much opposition. Let's wait and see what happens. Can I get away with that?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to get away with that because it's not the truth. And we live in the truth. Okay, tomorrow we got to do the Stephen Colbert thing, or is it too dated now?
No, it's pretty, I mean, it's comical, so yeah, we can do that.
See, it's not that comical. That's my concern. But I think it's funny enough for people to hear.
Well, it's comical in a way not meant to be as comical. It's comical because it's so awkward.
By the way, did you happen to see, and I didn't hear it, but did you happen to see the video from Jon Stewart's show last night where Mario Batali chews up food and then spits it into Jon Stewart's mouth?
Saw parts of it.
Any idea what that's about?
Well, it's from the Colbert deal that we're going to play tomorrow.
All right. Is there any chance that you could have Anthony actually give me my cues on time?
Sure.
All right. Great. Love you guys. All right, we got to get out of here. We're just out of time for today. Want to thank Jeff and Anthony, of course, all of you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Some delays on northbound 75 approaching FD9 because of an accident there on the right shoulder. Southbound side has some gawkers, so expect some issues there as well. 94 westbound at E-Course Road. We still have that rollover accident being taken care of on the left shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain, a dense fog advisory going until 11 a.m. this morning. Maybe some rumbles of thunder in there as well. The temperature will drop throughout the entire day, leading to some snow showers tonight. A low around 20, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high in the mid-20s. Right now, it's raining, foggy, and 43 degrees at Detroit City Airport. A great day, everybody.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify yourself, please.
This is...